Hey, this is Trish Stratus.
This is Showtime, Eric Young.
This is your favorite TNA knockout, Tara.
This is the new face of Impact Wrestling, Christopher Daniels.
It's me, DDP, and you're listening on The Rock with God.
Stratisfaction is guaranteed.
Wild Talk Radio Network presents to you the Wrestling Radio Awards Best News Show, The Rack.
We're not acting like we're in second grade. We are working through our anger issues. You see, Kane and I, we used to be a lot like you. But thanks to Dr. Shelby, we're in a better place now. And not only that, we are champions. You do want to be a champion again.
Yes.
Don't you, Randy?
Yes, I do. And after I win the Royal Rumble match, I...
Wait. First, we win our tag match, and then... Group hug!
Giving you unique insights into the world of professional wrestling in WWE and TNA.
Christopher Daniels and Frankie Kazarian.
The
tag team champions.
No. World tag team champions of the world.
It's not redundant.
We're two planets worth of great. We've established this time and time again. World Tag Team Champions of the World. Hashtag it, everybody. You'll see.
The first time you hear it, you think you made a mistake.
Intelligent people know better. That's all I have to say on that. And it's whichever like two worlds you want to choose, it's up to you.
Like, yeah.
Doesn't matter.
Even Pluto counts, even though it's not a planet anymore, despite the fact they found another moon.
But it is still a dog.
It is.
With your host, Lindsay Ward.
Look at me, woman.
Oh, my God, it's Taker. Taker. Does Taker hate me? Oh, my God, it's Taker.
And her producer, Sir Rockin.
If you smell la-la-la-la-la, what the sock is cooking?
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Sorry about your damn luck.
Right here on WildTalkRadio.com, brought to you, of course, by MemLanePromo.com. Go to their website for all your memorabilia needs. Check it out. They are, of course, our official sponsor for the network and our WrestleMania Pick'em Challenge, which we'll get to later. And then, of course, we have our wonderful news segment coming up, which is brought to you by PW Mania, which we really don't have much news to talk about in the first segment, but... It's brought to you by them anyway. My producer is obviously playing I Want Candy because he wants my chocolate bunny rabbit from Easter and he's not going to get it.
I want it. I want it. I want your chocolate Easter bunny. I want it.
I'm going to eat it. You know what? I'm going to eat it at the end of the show. Just
You're going to kill the bunny at the end of the show.
I'm going to kill the bunny at the end of the show.
How
just
dare
to torture you.
How dare you kill a bunny on live radio? How dare you do such a thing?
It's not a real bunny. It's a chocolate bunny. It's not like it's going to sit on my dining room table for another week.
It shall, because I'm going to steal it.
Yeah, I like to see you try. I am, of course, your host, Lindsay Ward, and yes, you heard him, my producer, who is a bunny thief, Sir Rockin.
Oh, what a wonderful show we have for people tonight. Hello, everybody out there in the chat box.
Yes.
We see your names, and we see everyone who's there listening live right here on Wild Talk Radio Network.
Yes, we're very excited to see everybody out there. We're excited for everybody listening, and this is going to be a big show for us. As everybody else on the planet is doing, it is, of course, WrestleMania week, so we are doing a huge WrestleMania preview. We're going to be talking about everything. I'm sure you're going to be sick of hearing about it by the end of the show. Rock is going to try to sell me on the show because I'm not 100% sold. But, so yes, so we've got that coming up. We've got our Impact review. We have our interview with our very special guest.
Which we'll talk about in a second, but you mentioned WrestleMania?
I mentioned WrestleMania.
And you mentioned in your introduction we have a Pick'em Challenge. For those new to this show or just listening to this show and not any other show we do here on Wild Talk Radio, we have a pick'em challenge where we are going to give you guys free stuff, which is, in this contest, is a Kurt Angle autograph 8x10 and a Rob Van Dam autograph 8x10. Thanks to memlinepromo.com. You can enter the contest. We'll give you all the details later in the show, but stay tuned. You want to be a part of this contest.
Yes, stay tuned. We'll tell you all the details, but we'll get there later. But before we get there, since I got interrupted, you interrupted my flow, you bastard. We've got our question of the night, which is, oh my God, Shock of Shocks, WrestleMania themed.
Yes, it is. What is the match you are most looking forward to at the WrestleMania this weekend?
Yes. So, think about it. Put it in our chat box. You can still send it to us on Twitter at Wild Talk Radio. You can send it to us on the Facebooks, facebook.com/Wild Talk Radio Network. And just let us know. We'll be reading them off. And, of course, we will be adding it to our very extensive WrestleMania preview. So, yay!
Yes, our 10.5-minute WrestleMania preview to come tonight.
You mean we're not going to go 20 this time?
No, we're not going to stretch it to 20. We're going to go 10.5 minutes. Other shows like to go 16 minutes or so. We're going to go 10 and just keep it, you know, right there.
Yeah, concise. Right there.
Concise.
Keep in mind, for every minute, there's about actually 20 for that.
So do the math.
Yeah, so do the math. But, so yeah. As I said, there is not a lot of news coming out. Well, or actually, I should say, there is a lot of news. It is all WWE related. It is all WrestleMania related. So we're going to get to all the rumors, all the news about Access, the press conference that was today. We're going to talk all about that later in the show. Really, the only thing that we could kind of sort of scope out was, of course, Taker did replace Ric Flair tonight at Access. He's doing a signing again tomorrow. If you'd like to pay $1,000 for a ticket, please contact Rob Feinstein.
Yeah, he has one ticket available.
And we'll sell it to you.
Yes. Yes, he will.
So that's really the only news per se that we have to talk about, unless you've found something.
One of our favorite tag teams, Bad Influence, now has their very own t-shirt.
I want it.
You can go to shoptna.com. It comes in 3 different colors. But yes, Bad Influence has t-shirts. I was kind of disappointed. It's a great shirt, but think about the shirt where they actually have suspenders on the shirt.
I still want the championship suspenders, but they have to win the championships to get them, so.
Yes. yeah. They have to win the championships to get the championship suspenders, but we'll see what happens there. A note, Shane McMahon is now on Twitter, apparently, and he's around the WrestleMania area. So,
well, he lives there. I mean, he lives in, like, in Brooklyn, I think.
I'm not the stalker. You're the stalker.
Oh, yeah, because, you know, I'm spending my life stalking Shane McMahon.
If you could, would you?
Yes, but that's not the point. I think he was in one of the special, like, coffee table books where it's like he was talking about how they live in Brooklyn and they love to live in Brooklyn. And no, Matt, you did not see me stalking him yesterday. I was not in New York.
So she
as much as I would love to be and, you know, potentially freeze at Mania, I'm not in New York.
Which we'll give you our weather update later in the show.
Yes, we will. But yes, the Shane McMahon is on Twitter, so now all that's left is Taker.
Yeah, if you think about it, Vince tweeted this week, saying...
Vince did tweet this week.
Twice.
Twice?
Mm-hmm.
Well, actually, we should take that back. It probably wasn't actually Vince. It was probably a lackey.
The person controlling Vince McMahon's Twitter, Joey Styles, is tweeting for Vince. And he has a big reveal, hashtag big reveal tomorrow.
Yes, he does. And other news is that Vince will be inducting Donald Trump into the Hall of Fame.
Yes.
Stephanie McMahon is inducting Trish Stratus into the Hall of Fame.
Who you heard last week on the show. If you missed the interview, go back to the archives right here at wildtalkradio.com or rackradioshow.com to hear that interview after the show. We're not sure who's inducting Donald's hair. I'm not sure if it gets its own wing or not.
Well, if it's Donald's hair, it's probably Vince's hair.
All right, let's get into this before we get to everything else. What's up with Vince's hair?
He stopped shellacking it.
All right, let's think about this. Everyone else is now cutting their hair, right?
Right.
Vince is letting his grow out.
Well, I think Vince has always been letting it grow out, but I think he was palmating it down or something. So, yeah, I'm kind of with Matt. He washed it, and he just forgot to put the shellac back in it. I mean, that's... It's like if you see the pictures of Vince from today at the press conference, he looks like Vince McMahon with the puffy hair, and I think he even dyed it.
Probably. But it's just odd. Everyone's now cutting... Is the rule now they have to cut their hair so Vince's hair looks bigger?
Probably.
I'm just saying. This is something I thought about today. Hashtag Hairgate.
It continues.
It does continue. And it will always continue. No.
Yes, the old Vince hair is back. Thank God for that. Which means hopefully he will be in fine form for the Hall of Fame. Saturday night. Saturday night?
Yes, Saturday night.
In other news, Mick Foley's induction will air on TV.
Yes, people were upset about that. They were causing quite a ruckus.
Well, and rightfully so. Mick Foley's induction deserves to be on TV.
The actual ceremonies take place on Tuesday. The show will air on Tuesday.
Okay, whatever.
I'm answering the chat room. I'm answering the chat room.
I know. It's just...
I'm keeping people well informed. We like to interact with our chat room.
I'm still thinking of the time where they used to actually air the Hall of Fame the night before.
I remember the one time they aired it live on WWE.com.
I wish they would do that again. That'd be amazing.
They aired the entire thing on WWE.com, and then they went, maybe we shouldn't do that any longer. And that made us all sad.
Yeah, we had us a sad. No more Hall of Fame on WWE.com. But anyway, so if you're going to the Hall of Fame Saturday night, get pictures, bring back stories. We would love to hear them. And, well, the rest of us will all wait till Tuesday. Or we'll just read the interwebs on Sunday.
Either way, if you're going to WrestleMania, give us a call, 267-297-1397, while you're at the show. And give us a voicemail, because it's always on. You get 10 minutes to speak on the voicemail, and we'll play it on, like, CB radio.
It will play it on CB radio, or if you go to the show and you call us and leave us a voicemail for the actual WrestleMania show, it should get played on WTR, right?
Yeah.
Why not?
But if it's going to be on WTR, I got to keep it short, because I don't think we have 10 minutes to play it on WTR. CB radio, that's a different story.
Yeah, minute or less.
Yes. Keep it concise.
Minute or less.
Yes. But anyway, I think we should go to break, because we got a guest waiting in the wings.
We do. So when we come back, we had to BS to fill a little time because, yeah, we got to, you know. Anyway.
Matt, I dare you to leave me a long voicemail and go, hey, this is Matt. And there you go.
Yeah, and just 10 minutes of dead air. So anyway.
And you got that reference too, didn't you?
Yes.
Yeah, fuck you guys on Monday nights.
Hey, let's play nice. Let's play nice. Good Lord. So anyway, as I'm trying to kick the show to break, when we come back, we will be joined by everybody's most favorite attorney. No, it's not Perry Mason. It is, in fact, the one and only Joseph Parks. We got to sit down and talk to him all about his TNA experience. So we will be right back with that. You're listening to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com.
Interpretation is brought to you by Taste and Good Form. Oh, you were not aware of this? Your posterior better contact someone at once.
Ladies and gentlemen, young people of all gender and ages, Taste and Decency proudly presents to you
the home of the award-winning RackRadioShow.com. Here you'll be able to find information about the show, how to buy our one-of-a-kind merchandise, and, of course, all the great interviews we have done, including interviews with the likes of Trish Stratus, Christopher Daniels, and, of course, WWE superstar The Miz. Once again, that's RackRadioShow.com.
And if you're not down with that, we have two words for you. You're welcome!
Calling all pro wrestling fans, don't forget to check out PWMania.com. Again, the web address is PWMania.com. It's the best place on the internet today to get your late-breaking pro wrestling news and spoilers. We also have exclusive interviews, exclusive live results coverage of pay-per-views, rare photos, videos, divas, knockouts, and more. Exclusive writers, pro wrestler columns as well, where you can get a real insider's view of the world of professional wrestling. Bookmark it today, right now. It is PWMania.com.
Looking for one of the most popular stop-motion animation wrestling shows on the internet today? Then check out Crash Collision Wrestling, created by the one and only Matt Goldberg. He's the director of Terrified and Pope Against All Odds. CCW is a stop-motion animation series featuring WWE and TNA stars, and it also happens to be endorsed by the likes of Elijah Burke, Hulk Hogan, and TNA Knockout Tara.
This is Tara from Impact Wrestling, and for the number one animated wrestling show, make sure you check out Crash Collision Wrestling, or else get slammed by moi.
Check out the show by logging on to youtube.com/mbg1211, and don't forget to like Crash Collision Wrestling on Facebook. Once again, check out Crash Collision Wrestling today.
Because everybody knows, much like Pope, CCW is pimping.
Every Monday night, get caught up with everything that happens on Monday Night Raw with the Raw Post Show. From the big returns...
After 7 long years, finally, The Rock has come back to Monday Night Raw!
To the shocking moments... And the moments that leave you speechless.
I grew up locked in a basement, suffering severe psychological and emotional scarring when my brother set my parents on fire. From there, I shifted around among a series of mental institutions until I was grown, at which point I buried my brother alive. Twice. Since then, I've set a couple of people on fire and abducted various co-workers. Oh, and I once electrocuted a man's testicles.
It's the Raw Post Show, Monday nights, 11:30 p.m. Eastern, live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
This is the new face of Impact Wrestling, Christopher Daniels, letting you know that you're listening to Wild Talk Radio Network.
Everyone, welcome back to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, brought to you, of course, by TNAsylum.com. At this time, we are joined by our most favorite lawyer, the man who is taking on Robbie E. Friday night in Westbury, New York, the one and only Joseph Park.
Hey, guys, how are you?
We're fantastic. How are you?
Oh, I'm doing great. I'm doing great. I'm getting ready for my debut in New York tomorrow night.
So you have to be excited for that.
I am. I'm very excited. A little bit nervous. I've never performed in front of a New York crowd, and I know that they They're a great crowd and a great wrestling crowd and demand a lot. So this Joseph Park, I'm looking forward to hopefully delivering.
That sounds great. I'm curious to know, because I know you just celebrated your one-year anniversary, so this has got to be, this whole thing has got to be an adjustment for you from going from, you know, just mild-mannered lawyer to full-time Impact wrestler. And can you kind of talk to us about that? You know,
it has been a heck of a transition. You know, I mean, I showed up about, like you mentioned, about a year ago, and had no intention of wrestling, just wanted to look for my brother Abyss, and, you know, got some answers there, not for all the answers I needed. I couldn't really find him, and he showed up at Slammiversary and didn't even stop to say hi to me after he helped me. But, you know, after that all happened, I was ready to kind of go back to my law practice, and then, you know, Bully Ray kind of got in my face a little bit, and I kind of just had enough of being pushed around and stuff, so I decided to stand up for myself, and then this whole thing kind of rollerballed, and I went to OVW training and with Danny Davis and the great folks at Ohio Valley Wrestling, and the next thing you know, here I am. So, you know, I still am proud of my law practice, but pretty excited about the future with wrestling.
I was saying, you bring up Bully Ray. I was curious to know, what was it like to defeat him at Slammiversary and kind of get your first win in the company? And that has to be sort of even more sweet now, knowing what's happened with Aces and Eights and his reveal as the leader of them.
Yeah, you know, you're right. You hit it on the head, Lindsay. I mean, it has been, you know, that match was something I'll never forget, you know, and as you remember, I had a little assistance there from my brother. That's about the only time I've seen him since I started looking for him, so I actually didn't even see him. I got to see the tape replay later, but was not able to connect with him, but to get back on your point, I mean, it was a great win for me, and it kind of catapulted things, and after everything that's happened with Aces and Eights, and you know, I'll be the first to admit, I think Bully Ray pulled the wool over everybody's eyes, and including mine and Hulk Hogan's and Sting's and everybody else's. So, you know, it's going to be interesting to see where things go moving forward.
I bet. And I got to know, for you at least, what was it like training in OVW?
Well, I tell you what, it was hard. It was really difficult. I thought passing the bar exam was difficult until I went to OVW and then got trained by Danny Davis. I mean, this guy is the epitome of what a wrestling trainer should be. He's just incredible, and he demands a lot, and he's very physically and mentally demanding. And I'm glad that I went through that training, because it really prepared me for all the competition at Impact Wrestling.
I can imagine. Or is anybody in Park planning on joining you, or they kind of sort of just stay back?
That's a great question. I've kind of thrown that out at the partners a little bit, and then right now none of them are interested in really getting into the squared circle. So they're going to go ahead and run the practice of Park, and I'm going to go ahead and take this wrestling career as far as I can take it, and we'll go from there.
I've got to know, how did you come up with, you know, your finishing move?
Well, which one? The splash?
Yeah, the splash.
You know, I don't know how I came up with it. I guess just from watching a lot of old tapes and stuff, and watching a lot of old wrestling moves and stuff like that. And you know, I'm a big guy. I'm a large guy, you know, like my brother. So I kind of figured, you know, what better way to finish somebody off than squishing them off the second rope with a big old splash. I like to call it Sloppy Joe. Or maybe I should call it the closing argument. Or maybe I should call it the last rites or something like that. Maybe you guys can help me come up with a name for it.
I like Sloppy Joe. That sounds funny.
Yeah,
I do too.
Yeah.
That's pretty
Joe.
Different.
I like Sloppy Joe too as a meal too. It's pretty good.
Yeah, and Sloppy Joe's always go good with Cincinnati chili. Just.
Oh, absolutely. Oh my gosh, are you familiar with the Cincinnati chili?
Yes, sir, I am. I adore Skyline chili.
Oh my God, I do too. I absolutely do love it. Well, we have something in common already, Lindsay.
We do. We totally do. And I'm curious to know, because obviously I'm just a regular person, and, you know, watching you make this journey has just been absolutely awesome for at least me, and I know everybody else here, because we all love you here. We're all big Park fans.
Oh, thank you, guys. Thank you.
So I'm curious to know, is it odd for you to have fans? Because I know you're out on Twitter, and you're very active on it. And is it just odd for you to have fans now? I mean,
It really is. I mean, I never in the world thought I'd have fans. You know, I mean, Joseph Park Esquire, my Twitter account, for example, I had like 9 followers total over the last few years, and now I'm up over 25,000. So it's pretty it's pretty awe-inspiring. You know, it's kind of taken me back a little bit. I never expected to have fans. I mean, when I got into this thing, I was just trying to look for my brother and stuff. But I got to say, that fan support, it motivates me so much, and it means so much. And the fans have been great, and have accepted me and really tried to help me and motivate me along this whole journey. So I can't thank the fans enough.
And speaking of fans, what was it like to go to Chicago? Because I know Impact has left Florida, and we're hugely excited about that. What was it like to sort of make a debut in your hometown of Chicago in front of that hometown crowd? And
it was great. It was truly a homecoming of sorts. And it was just kind of ironic that the first live television outside of Orlando was in Chicago, Illinois, my hometown. So, I mean, it was incredible. You know, I had all the partners of Park were actually there. I couldn't get them anything other than the nosebleed seats, unfortunately, because I don't have that kind of clout yet. I don't have any kind of clout yet, you know. So, you know, hopefully when I get the kind of clout that Kurt Angle and Sting and Hulk have, maybe one day I'll be able to get them better seats. So.
Well, yeah, I mean, you've only been there for a year, so as time goes, you'll get better.
Absolutely. I'll get a little more clout in the office and stuff like that, and hopefully I'll be able to get some better seats for the partners maybe the next time we come back to Chicago.
There you go. Maybe you can get them front row.
Oh, wow. Well, now you're shooting for the moon there, Lindsay. I don't know about that, but we'll see what we can do for sure.
Well, I often shoot for the moon. So TNA has started to go on the road a lot lately, and I'm just curious, what's been your favorite city so far to visit, and do you have any cities that you're maybe looking forward to visiting in the future?
Well, you know, Chicago, obviously we talked about that already, but like Jonesboro, Arkansas a couple weeks ago was just incredible. I mean, the fans out there were just awesome. You know, we're getting ready to do Corpus Christi next week, which we're really excited about. But we're just excited in general, you know. I mean, you know, Orlando and Universal Studios was great. It was fantastic to us, but it really didn't give us an opportunity to get out around the country and to connect with our fan base. And this is, you know, it's really allowed us to do that, you know, getting out of Orlando and getting on the road and actually getting in front of, you know, our fans in the Midwest and in the Northeast and in the South, and, you know, to actually connect with them, I think it's just made such a huge difference in the show.
Right, absolutely. I would definitely agree with that. It's so awesome to see you guys in front of that live crowd. Nothing against Orlando, but just it's something about you guys traveling and
it adds something to it. Yeah, you're totally right about that, Lindsay. I mean, it's, you know, Orlando was great, and they're a great crowd there, and God bless Orlando, and we love them to death. But, you know, moving on the road and being in front of a live audience, you know, every week, a fresh audience, an invested audience, it means the world of difference to everything. And you can tell that just by watching the show. It comes right through your television screen, all of the momentum and that creativity and everything just comes right through your TV screen. Those fans just are great on the road. So,
and I kind of want to sort of start transition back a little bit to the show on Friday. Curious that we both follow you on with Robbie E on Twitter, and he just really doesn't want to participate. I mean, how is that going? Do you think you guys will ever be BFFs? Or,
you know, if it was up to me, Lindsay, we'd be friends. I never had any problem with Robbie E at all. You know, I mean, obviously he's a lot more flashier than I am, and maybe he dresses a little bit better than I do. I don't know. I kind of like my three-piece suit, but, you know, Robbie E, he's a different kind of guy, you know, and as you guys probably know, I mean, the guy's, he's a little bit off the wall, and he's a little crazy, and you know, and heck, I mean, you'd have to be crazy to wear your hair like he does, right? I mean, let's be honest. I mean, you'd have to be. But to answer your question, I have no problem with Robbie. I would love to be BFFs with him, and I've tried my best, and I've tried to use Twitter as a tool to kind of reach out to him, and it just hasn't worked at all. And this Friday, obviously, things are going to blow up in Westbury at this whole thing, because that's who I'm wrestling, so.
Right. Well, firstly, I think it's all the hair gel. It's just it's soaking in, because I don't think it's helping us that much.
I'm sure. You know what? I kind of agree. I think it's soaking in and kind of waterlogging his brain a little bit. But that's just my personal opinion. But
Yeah, I can concur on that. It's just, I don't know why. But again, like I said, we follow your Twitter, and we noticed that one person that you kind of have struck up a friendship a little bit with is James Storm. Is he kind of sort of taking you under his wing a little bit, or?
Yeah, you know, James is great. You know, you talk about a true cowboy. I mean, the guy is, he's as much of a cowboy out of the ring as he is in the ring, and he's been great to be around, and I've learned a lot from just talking to him, and I've got to actually travel with him a couple times on the road early on in my career, and he's just a great guy to be around, and he's an intense guy to be around, and I can't think of a better guy to kind of learn the intensity and learn the ins and outs of this whole business than from a guy, a seasoned veteran like James Storm.
Oh, absolutely. And I've had the pleasure of meeting him as well, and he's a fantastic individual and a lot of fun.
He is. He's a lot of fun, and, you know, the thing with Storm, you know, is when it's time to fight, when it's time to wrestle, nobody comes more prepared than him, but when it's time afterwards to drink some beer, there's nobody more prepared more than him, too, so that's a unique quality that he has.
What's the best piece of advice he's given you so far?
Storm, the best piece of advice he's given me so far, gosh, he's been giving me so much. I would say the best piece of advice is just come ready to work, you know. Come ready to, when it's time to fight, it's time to fight. Nothing else matters at that time. So, you know, to focus on the event, focus on the actual task at hand, so to be, you know, with who I'm wrestling and who I'm fighting, just to stay focused is probably the biggest thing he's taught me so far.
So I'm just kind of curious, you know, as you continue to progress and that kind of thing, do you have your eyes maybe on shifting to looking at some of the titles?
Well, gosh, you know, of course, that'd be a dream come true for me, you know, whether it's the television title or one of the tag titles or, Lord forbid, the heavyweight title, you know. I'd say right now that's not so much a main goal of mine like it is with most guys. My main goal is to just keep getting better, you know. I'm still really green in this whole thing, and just keep getting better and hopefully get some more W's under my belt, as the boys call them. I'm sure you've heard that. And, you know, and just kind of hopefully hone my craft a little bit and just keep getting better and better. And maybe that stuff will come along down the road. Who knows?
Absolutely. And are you looking forward to going to Boston for Slammiversary? And do you have any plans to do any sightseeing either in New York or Boston while you're there?
Well, gosh, you know, for sure, I definitely would like to go downtown to Times Square tomorrow, hopefully, and hang out a little bit before the show. I've never been there, and, you know, just a Chicago kid who's never been to the Big Apple, so I would definitely like to do that. But, you know, in Boston's a great town, a great city. I've been there before. My brother, gosh, he's wrestled there 100 times, and Boston's such a great city, too. It's such a great wrestling city. Traditionally, you know, Boston and the whole Northeast has always been, New York included, obviously, has always been such a great wrestling draw and a great wrestling audience. And the folks up there and the fans up there, they really appreciate their wrestling. And so it's such a fun thing to perform in front of them.
Oh, I can imagine. And I'm really kind of curious because they never got your reaction to it. But what was your feeling when Bully Ray turned and was revealed as the president of Aces and Eights, because that was obviously somebody everybody came to trust and everybody thought he was on the level and maybe he turned a corner, and then all of a sudden it's like, you know, wham, he's the baddest of the bad and he's behind this whole group. And obviously, like, you know, like I said before, what they did to you and how awful that was for you, I imagine. What was your personal feeling on that?
You know, I felt betrayed and duped just like everybody else, you know, and, you know, I that's just me. I'm sure I don't feel as duped as Hulk Hogan does. I mean, he ended up handing his daughter over in marriage to this guy. And, you know, right. that part really bothers me the most, you know, and, you know, the fact that he fooled everybody, and he did fool everybody, and he had a lot of help fooling everybody. I mean, he was behind this thing the whole time, so. He did an incredible job. I'll give Bully Ray one thing. He did an incredible job of pulling the wool over everybody's eyes, and, you know, but now we're in quite a jam, you know. I mean, this guy's still married to Brooke Hogan, technically, legally, you know, and as a guy who's a lawyer right now, it's going to be tough to get her out of that marriage. He's not budging at all. He doesn't want out of it. So it's going to be interesting to see what happens, but this much, I'll be there to help out, whether it's physically or provide my legal skills to help resolve this whole thing.
I was going to say, have you been offering any legal advice to them, or have they come to you about that at all?
You know, I haven't talked to Brooke. Brooke's been so, she's been really, you know, obviously very down in the dumps, and Hulk's been very upset, and Brooke has just been, she's been so upset about this whole thing and how everything transpired. I just haven't found the right time to maybe sit down with them. Every time I try to approach them, I just get the feeling that they don't want to talk right now. So hopefully down the road soon, we'll be able to visit, and I'll be able to give them some advice and help them out any way I can, you know. And I've already told Hulk Hogan and everyone I'm there to back him up and do whatever I need to do physically or otherwise to help.
Well, you know, I think that's awesome that you're offering help. That's really great.
Absolutely. I mean, it's part of what I'm there for. And I have a unique set of skills, you know, not to sound like Liam Neeson here in Taken, but I have a unique set of skills that nobody else has here, because now I can wrestle and I can fight a little bit, but also too, I can use my brain and my vast legal experience to provide them with some, you know, case studies and so forth and legal advice to try and get Brooke out of this whole jam, hopefully.
And I definitely hope you can. And there's nothing wrong with bragging about a unique set of skills. Trust me, we do it all the time. And I have to ask, just because he's a really good friend of ours, I'm sure you've met Matt Goldberg, the director of Terrified. I'm just curious if maybe at some point you're going to talk to him about possibly doing a documentary on your journey at all.
Gosh, I think that's a great idea. I didn't even think about that, but I would love to do that. Get him in touch with me, because I'd love to sit down and talk about that. My God, that could be a great Lifetime original series or something like that, the journey of Joseph Park. I'm kind of digging that.
Yeah, we will, you know what, we'll talk to him right after we do the interview, and we will definitely get him in touch with you, because I think that would be amazing.
That sounds great.
I'd love to see that, actually.
Absolutely, absolutely. I mean, that'd be a great ABC after-school special or a Lifetime original series, or, you know, that thing, you know, it could be great.
It would. So, one final question for you. You and Robbie, like we said, you're set to square off tomorrow in Westbury, New York. What type of performance can we the fans, expect to see from you tomorrow? And do you really have any final comments you would like to make about Robbie before tomorrow night?
Well, I will say this, and one thing I won't take away from Robbie E. And Robbie E. is a talented athlete. He's a talented wrestler. Robbie E.'s got a vicious side to him, too. I've seen it a couple times. So, you know, people can expect to see a match tomorrow night where, you know, I'm going to do the best I can and, you know, stick to my basics that I learned at Ohio Valley Wrestling and Danny Davis. And I'm just going to give it my best, you know. I've been getting ready for this thing, and, you know, I don't know which one I'm more excited about, being in actually in the ring against Robbie E or being in front of a New York crowd, because I've always wanted to kind of wrestle. Ever since this journey started, I've always thought, man, it would be great to wrestle in New York. So it happens this Friday night in Westbury, and I'm going to get that chance, and I just can't wait to meet all the fans and hopefully get that big W that I always talk about. So.
Exactly. Well, we're rooting for you. I think everybody listening to the show will be rooting for you.
Well, thank you. And please tell all your listeners, I really appreciate it. And hopefully I'll get to see and meet a lot of them Friday night. I really do. I hope so.
Are you doing any kind of signing or anything before the show or after the show?
Yeah, there'll be a meet and greet before the show with just about every, I don't know about every piece of talent, but most of the time I know I'm scheduled to do it. So I'll be there at the meet and greet before the show, and looking forward to meeting all the great fans there. So maybe signing a few autographs. I mean, I'm new to this autograph thing too, but it's kind of neat.
Okay, well, you heard him, folks. If you're there, tell him the Rack sent you and get to meet Joseph Parks, because I know I'd love to come meet you. Unfortunately, I can't.
Yeah, come on.
I'd love to come meet you. I've met your brother once before, and he was a big teddy bear. So I definitely,
you know, a lot of people don't know he was kind of a big teddy bear. But you know, as you guys know, he's got a really vicious and brutal and mean and sadistic side to him too. But you know, he does have a nice side to him, and it just, people don't get to see that often. But now nobody gets to see any side of him because nobody can seem to find him. And so, but, you know, like I said, I'm focused, and I'm focused on my career now, and who knows, if this comes back one day, you know, hopefully maybe we can tag up, maybe we can be tag champions, who knows?
That would be amazing. But we're definitely keeping an eye out for him. And if I ever do have the chance to meet you, I will definitely look forward to doing it.
Same as well.
Once again, Joseph, thank you so much for joining us. Everyone, you're listening to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, and we will be right back.
The evolution of online sports entertainment begins again on Sunday nights when you step into the ring with WrestleTalk Radio. Covering all the latest in the WWE, TNA, and the indie scene. Plus, providing you with the most comprehensive coverage of every WWE and TNA pay-per-view. Join WrestleTalk Radio every Sunday night, live only on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
The latest in all things TNA wrestling? Then look no further than TNAsylum.com. TNA Asylum keeps you up to date on all the happenings in TNA wrestling, along with featured columns, full coverage of TNA related events, and a first look on the behind the scenes events of TNA that you can't find anywhere else. Log on right now to the haven for TNA fans, TNAsylum.com.
You never know what will happen when you tune in to CB Radio.
Are you serious? That's the number two.
That's currently number seven. It was number two at one point.
Apparently it's big or something, but I don't know what the fuck it is. It sounds like a gangbang or something.
Techno gangbang. Maybe the world needs to end. End of the world Gangnam style.
Weird. Wow. Becomes popular. Like, I swear I've heard all about this stuff, but I was like, what is this, like a fucking martial art, or is this type of food or something? I don't know what the hell it is. Is it sexual position? I play my, work schedule and whatnot, but...
Watch the video.
Okay, let me get the video then.
What the fuck? I thought the people were going to be showing at the party. Oh, you Gundam style over here.
That's the horse you have, that's the horse
you have. Gundam style. Gundam style.
Oh, not the pelvic thrust. Is that Mr. Sulu in the sky? Oh, they're riding that pony.
Yeah, I don't want to be.
That 800 million? Oh, I'm scared for the future. Yeah. This is why I don't go to clubs and dance, because I can't do this shit. Hey, I make sure the club's staying still. I'd lean on that wall. I make sure I got drinks in my hand, and I make sure that club's staying still.
Oh, yeah, he's going to be dreaming about him.
Oh, man, damn it. Now I gotta play something else, Rock. Wake up and start riding the damn donkey.
Tune in to CB Radio Saturdays, midnight Eastern Time, on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
God bless our Made in America.
Hey everybody, this is Joseph Falk from Impact Wrestling, and you're listening to the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Welcome back to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, brought to you, of course, by TNAsylum.com and MemLanePromo.com. Take two. Took me longer to screw up the show this time. So if you just missed our fantastic interview with Joseph Park, well, go back and listen to it on the archives, because we had a lot of fun talking to him.
He was a great guy.
He really was. He's a fantastic guy. He's super nice. He's a big teddy bear. But like the man said, he's doing an autograph signing before the show. And if you want to actually go to the show, it's of course going to be at the NYCB Theater in Westbury, New York. It's tomorrow night. It's part of the Road to Slammiversary World Tour. And tickets are on sale right now at the theater box office. And of course, all Ticketmaster locations, you can go to www.ticketmaster.com or charge by phone at 1-800-745-3000. And if you happen to meet Joseph Park and you heard the interview, tell him the Rock sent you.
Yes, please do. And we'd like to thank the folks at TNA Wrestling for helping us set up that interview that you all hopefully enjoyed this evening. There are some good people over there at TNA, and they have provided us with some awesome guests, including Joseph Park, this week. And you never know who we're going to have down the line from TNA Wrestling on this very show.
Yeah, we've got to get a certain cowboy on the show. That's all I'm saying.
All right. She's so demanding, people. You have no idea. I booked Trish Stratus. She wants The Undertaker. She's so demanding. Like, something isn't good enough for her. So, oh, you got me this? Now I want this person.
Well, to be fair, I want The Undertaker for my own greedy reasons. But that's an entirely another story. And speaking of stories, Matt, I'll tell you all about the car trip with Abyss on the next break, because I have to type that out, and it takes me a while.
Because it's a tremendous story.
Anyway. It is a tremendous story, and I will tell you all about it on the next break.
Anyway.
So,
anyway,
speaking of tremendous, we have tonight's TNA Impact to talk all about.
Yes, this was a better show than the previous taped one they did.
It was still really promo heavy, but it flowed better.
It was better promo heavy.
Yes, it was better promo heavy. It wasn't all video packages. There was a lot of stuff in the ring, there was a lot of stuff backstage, but everything helped to move the show along. So it was a much better overall.
Yes.
But so speaking of promos, they of course recap what happened last week and what's been going on in TNA to start their show. And then we have the hype for the 10-man match that will be your main event for the evening. And to start things off, to hype it out, we have Aces and Eights. They're coming out first. They all climb in the ring. And of course, Mr. Anderson addresses AJ Styles. They're trying to obviously heavily recruit him into their little group.
Yeah, they had a nice little vest for him.
They did. Which they had all made up. Very nice.
Very, very nice, yes.
Well, if somebody's going to recruit you, it's nice to bring a present.
It always is. It's always nice to have gifts ready if you want them to come join your side. Cookies usually work. Or chocolate.
Cookies, cash, you know.
That sort of thing.
Undertakers. Yeah, they work. Anyway, Devon then gets on the mic and he holds up a mysterious Malimba envelope and he talks about how this one envelope will change the entire course of Brooke and Bully's marriage. Then we have D'Lo get on the mic and he's kind of bitter.
A little bit.
He holds out the letter that he got sent from TNA saying that he was terminated. He didn't get a phone call. He didn't get a tweet. He didn't get a Facebook message. He didn't even get a text. He got a form letter telling him that he was terminated from TNA, and he wants to know why. Why was he terminated from TNA? What did he do wrong? He demands to know. He wants answers, damn it.
Did you want to be fired by fax or FedEx or something? Like other people have been in the past?
There you go.
I mean, if you're going to get fired, at least they sent you a letter this time. Certain other people have gotten fired different ways, and then they go to ECW cut promos with long blonde hair, brother. Anyway, move on.
Yeah, moving on. D'Lo gets his response in the form of Kurt Angle. Angle comes out and doesn't really do much, or I should say do much. He doesn't really talk much, and he more lets his fist do the fighting. Or the talking.
Yeah, he's not going to tout him, Facebook him, tweet him, text him, email him, whatever. He's just going to, you know, beat the crap out of D'Lo Brown.
Pretty much, which of course means the Aces and Eights have to join in. The Aces and Eights do join in, and they start to beat the crap out of Kurt Angle. Then, of course, the four other members of the match run out to defend Kurt Angle, and massive chaos ensues. with everybody, beating the crap out of everybody before it's eventually broken up. And you have the good guys standing in the ring yelling at the aces and eights who are standing cocky and confident as they go to break.
Interesting setup for the main event. Nice 10-man little situation. We got some teases for things to come, including the Manila envelope that Devon had for Brock Hogan that, you know, was going to change things in the relationship between him and between her and Bully Ray.
Which, I wonder what it could be.
It's a cookie recipe.
It's a cookie recipe?
Mm-hmm. I've decided it's a cookie recipe.
It's Mama Ray's cookie recipe?
Yes. Yes, it is.
Oatmeal raisin?
Chocolate chip.
Chocolate chip. Chocolate chip.
Fancy, I know.
Yeah. So I thought this was a great segment. I thought it set it up perfectly. Set a nice tone for the show.
It did. It was nicely done.
So, as always, they open hot. Mm-hmm. And then we move to our knockouts block. We see Brooke standing in the back. She's stressed. She needs a massage.
She does.
And, of
she
course,
does.
Joey Ryan comes in to offer her some...
Relief.
Relief. For her...
One brain. Anyway.
One brain.
Continue.
Relief for her so-called tension.
Mm-hmm.
Brooke refutes his advances multiple times, and then he says he can do her a favor, to which she says, I'm a married woman. And, of course, it's not that kind of favor. Joey Ryan wants to be the new ref for the knockouts, as Taryn Terrell was transferred from being a ref to a wrestler.
Yes.
Brooke, in her stress, she was not in her right mind, I'm convinced of this, agrees and lets Joey Ryan ref the knockouts match, which followed. I hate Joey Ryan. Can I just say that now? I hate Joey Ryan.
Yes.
I want to punch him in his face. Hate him. Seriously.
I know, a lot of people do. Anyway, opening contest, Velvet Sky and Taryn Terrell, Gail Kim versus Gail Kim and Tara with Jesse in his corner, in their corner with Joey Ryan as a special referee. He inspected every single knockout.
Yes, he did. Of course, he only inspected their thighs to their knees.
Yeah, he made sure to cover every inch of their body. I would like that.
Including Velvet Sky's ass as he gave it a nice little slap.
And there's nothing wrong with that.
Well, I think she had a problem with it.
She had a problem with it, yes.
But yeah, this was a great match, despite Joey Ryan. He wouldn't count a three count, he wouldn't count a two count, he wouldn't count a one count, he wouldn't count. He just kind of stood there and stared the whole time, and acted all perverted and sleazy, which is like what I know he's supposed to do. But it's like, dude, ref the damn match!
Yeah, I know. But besides Joey Ryan being Joey Ryan, good match.
It was a really good match. It continued to build the feud between Taryn and Gail, as well as Tara and Velvet. And they're bringing that intensity back to the Knockouts division, which I like.
Yeah, it was a good match. I enjoyed it.
So then, up next are, I guess they're tied for favorite.
It goes back and forth each week.
It does. This week, though, our favorite tag team, Bobby Roode and Austin Aries, are shown walking to the backstage. They're coming out for their contract signing, which, of course, is next. And this was probably one of the segments of the night, at least for me.
It was, but we have breaking news, not breaking news, but big news before we get to this segment.
Oh.
Available now at shoptna.com, the Dixie Carter autographed action figure.
Ooh.
It's what everybody's been wanting, the Dixie Carter action figure. Now available, shoptna.com.
Limited quantity, so go buy now.
$40, really?
It's $40?
Wow.
I love you, Dixie, but not that much.
Yeah, not worth that $40. Shipped. $40 shipped. Okay. Okay.
I don't love you that much, Dixie.
No,
sorry.
No. And this is a warning to people, if you're drinking beer, read the bottom of the label. Anyway, moving on.
Okay.
I'll explain it to you later.
Yeah, you need to explain that later. So anyway, they come out for their tag team title contract signing, which I thought just on its own was really pretty cool, because you only see this for usually the World Heavyweight Championship belts. So it was nice to see it for the tag team titles. It gave it just a little bit more importance. Because they were somewhat business about it.
They were.
Nobody went through a table. There was no shenanigans per se, except for the fact that apparently Hernandez missed the memo about wearing a suit.
Yeah, everyone was dressed in suits except for Hernandez, which was odd, but I guess he can't afford one. Which is
he opted to wear his tights, which is obviously the more comfortable way to go.
I suppose so. Yeah. I guess he needs to win the belt to get the winner's share of the purse so he can afford a nice suit. Because Chavo's been around a long time, and yeah.
Yeah, but Men's Warehouse. It doesn't have to be a good suit, but it can be a suit.
This is true. Hey, talk to Joseph Park. He knows how to do suits.
He does. His three-piece suits, they're awesome.
He's proud of his three-piece suits.
He does. He looks very dapper.
He does.
But anyway, moving on, everybody reads over the contract, and while Bobby and Austin, of course, have a problem with it, they decide to amend the contract because they're awesome like that, and their terms are that they want a fruit basket, green M&Ms, and, of course, more money to be added to the winner's purse.
Gotta get the dollar bills, y'all.
I more like the fact green M&Ms.
Not red, not blue, not yellow, not, you know, basic M&Ms. He wants them with the green ones.
He wants the green ones.
And everybody knows what green M&Ms are all about.
There you go.
Just saying.
Chavo and Hernandez decide to make some amendments of their own, to which it's basically announced that the match is 2 out of 3 falls, and if Chavo and Hernandez lose, they will split forevers. There was some absolutely fantastic promo work in this segment done by Bobby and Austin. Chavo was a little weak.
Yeah, but that's Chavo.
Well, my only issue with it was that kind of killed it a little bit is, you know, basically they start out the promo with, you know, we're not the world tag team champions. We're two former world champions who are a team.
Right.
And then they look at Hernandez and Chavo and say, you know, well, are you a world champion? No. Were you a world champion? No. And Chavo's quip back is, well, I'm a Guerrero, baby. And then it's like, and Hernandez is awesome. That's, like, pretty much what the response was. And I was like, oh, that's just not even right.
Yeah. But, nice setup for the next week's 2 out of 3 falls contest. Yeah,
so, overall, it was a great promo. It was really, really, really effective. And I liked it. But, yeah, it's just, like, the Chavo Hernandez stuff was a little weak.
Anyway, backstage we have Adam Pearce warming up for Gut Check.
Yay, Scrap Daddy. Yay!
I was impressed by the video package they had for him. It was really well done. They used a lot of footage from his time in CWF Hollywood, with a little bit of Colt Cabana in there, and you know, it basically showed that the time is now for him to cash in and open that door and kick it in, as it were.
Then I was looking for holy crap, scrap iron, I swear. And it's like, oh, this, I've not seen this man, love of God, go to YouTube. He is amazing. Just put in 7 levels of hate and you'll see why.
Yes, they did a video package on him. They did a video package on Magno before the matchup got underway. It is Magno, Adam Pearce, 1-on-1 in Kachuk. Good match.
I'm going to call it match of the night.
Not sure what match of the night is, but yeah, okay, we'll go with it.
It was really nice. It was really solid.
Solid wrestling. Guys been in the ring before. They know what they're doing. Just not a couple of rookies. Not a couple greenhorn jobbers. A couple guys know what they're doing.
It was really nice and tight, and you could see that.
Mm-hmm. Good stuff. Pierce wins with a little bit of cheating, which a good heel knows how to do.
Yes, which a proper, you know, hashtag high class heel knows how to do. So bravo to Adam Pearce.
Bravo.
Bravo.
Bravo, bravo, sir. Bravo.
Nice job as well to Magno.
Mm-hmm.
I think his style isn't my style, but it was good nonetheless.
Yes, and we will see next week on Impact which man will go forward and possibly get a TNA contract from the judges.
Here's a hint. Sign Adam Pearce.
It's a hint. A subtle hint.
Hint. Sign Adam Pearce and put him with Christopher Daniels and Frankie Kazarian and watch the magic happen. That's all I'm going to say.
Just pointing that out.
Because he's amazing like that. As I put in my recap, Adam Pearce is made of epic.
Well, there you go.
We then get a Hogan Sting recap, and to which I just simply put, I hate it when couples fight. And we're going to get an update on that. But then we get AJ Styles. He's backstage. He's here. Oh my goodness. Is he going to talk? Is he going to do anything?
No, he just stands there and listens to Mr. Anderson talk.
Yes, Anderson hands him his spiffy new vest as they try to, again, heavily recruit AJ over to their side. AJ just simply stands and listens before he walks off looking at the vest. Nice little promo, nice little way to move the story forward.
Yes, I agree.
And of course, Hulk sees this and Hulk doesn't like it.
No, Hulk hasn't met.
He does have a mad. He's upset about Aces and H trying to recruit AJ, and he's determined to find out whose side AJ is on. And so we will get to see that a little bit later.
Yes. And our Sting update, he wasn't there.
Yes. Our Sting update is he's not there.
But the best line was, Hogan said he needs warriors, not politicians, to fight the battle against Aces and Nates. Okay. Hulk Hogan saying there's no need for politicians in wrestling. Really, brother? Really? Is that what you think? Really, brother? Have you looked in the mirror, brother?
He's not counting himself.
I'm just saying. It seemed odd coming out of his mouth.
I know. But anyway, after that, we get Kurt Angle and our guest, Joseph Park. He was heavily involved tonight.
He was. Joseph Park is
awesome.
The man.
But anyway, Joseph goes back to Kurt Angle, and basically Joe wants to kick some ass.
Mm-hmm.
Which was great.
it was tremendous.
Kurt psychs him up and basically tells him that, you know, if you see an opportunity, take it. Don't hold back for anything.
Yes. Follow my lead is basically what he wants to do.
Yes, so we will have to see how it goes, but it was such an adorable segment. He's so cute. I just want to hug him.
He plays the role so well.
He does. But up next, we have the Hulkster. He's back. And he's out on no crutches.
He's gotten away from the crutches, brother.
He has. Hogan comes out and he immediately calls out AJ Styles, who has his vest. Hogan then pleads his case to AJ. He wants the man that AJ was, not that he's turned into. And basically Hogan is trying to lure AJ away from the dark side and bring him back to the good side of the force. But before he can conclude or get AJ's answer, Mr. Storm comes out and he's looking particularly hot this evening. Love those jeans. And this was, he cuts an incredible promo about basically where he details his time in TNA and AJ's time in TNA and how they've been there every step of the way with each other. They've ridden all the same miles. They've done all the same shows. And he remembers the stip for the Bound for Glory match, and he remembers the man that AJ was, and that is not the man in front of him. And he wants to know what the hell is going on.
I liked the reference back to the Asylum.
He did.
Which was cool. It was a great promo by Jim Storm tonight. Really sold it.
And of course, well, once again, we get no answers from AJ Styles.
Yes, we got no answers. Storm kept screaming, "We built this! We built this!" Huh. Good segment. Very nice of that.
And of course, the dirty look Storm got from Hogan afterwards was priceless.
Yeah.
So, anyway, AJ walks off. We have no idea what's going to happen, but basically we find out that he has a week to decide basically whose side he's on.
Yes, he's done sucking up to one AJ Styles.
And I'm going to let Rock take over, because this is where Lindsay's cable box decided it was going to reboot itself.
Yeah, always fun. Always fun. Fun when that happens. At least it didn't go off completely.
This is true.
Anyway, it is time for our next contest, a three-way X Division showdown. It's a qualifier. The winner of this match will be inserted into the next TNA X Division Championship match. In one corner, you have Mason Andrews, otherwise known as Harold.
Go Harold!
In the other corner, you have Sanjay Dutt.
Go Sanjay!
And in the other corner, there's four corners, so they're only utilizing three, but in the third corner, making his return to TNA Wrestling for the first time in 4 years, the one, the only, Petey Williams.
Petey! I was so happy to see him.
Really nice match these three had. The finish saw Petey Williams hit the Canadian Destroyer on Mason Andrews for the W. So Petey Williams will be now in the TNA X Division title match the next time it happens on television, which will probably be in a couple weeks.
Dear God, please give him that belt. Please. Please.
So Petey Williams is back, ladies and gentlemen.
We don't know if he's back for good, but he's back, and oh my God, all was right with the world when I saw him for the 5 seconds that I was able to on TV. He looked good.
He was in good shape, yes. I will agree.
Although he's still wearing his weird trunks.
Yeah. But there's they have that thing in the front.
Thing.
Yeah.
I don't quite know what to call it. Flap?
I guess we'll call it a flap. It was great to see the Canadian Destroyer once again. That's an awesome move.
I'm hoping my DVR caught it. I'm doubting it did, but I'm hoping it at least tried. And if nothing else, I'll have to go back and find it on YouTube later, because yeah, that was like the one thing. That's the one thing I've missed, is seeing him pull that move, because it's such an amazing move.
It's an awesome move. It is an awesome move.
And apparently, one CM Punk didn't want to take.
Anyway, continue.
Anyway, moving on. So once Lindsay's cable box came back up... Well, actually, no, my cable box still wasn't back up at this point, so you're going to have to talk about Foley's promo, too.
Okay, Willie Ray was backstage. He was holding a meeting with the Aces and Eights. You know, he knows that the group will get the job done against Kurt Angle and company. in just a few minutes, Ray told him to go out there, kick some ass, take some names, and most importantly, take their souls. Devon then asked, is Bully Ray ready to deal with this thing with Brooke Hogan? Ray said, to be honest, he misses his wife. And then everyone went, aww. And before then, Devon asked if she gives a good hot tag.
Wow!
Ray said he's going to hit the ring, look Brooke in the eyes, hand her the envelope, and just, you know, move on. They toasted, if you're in the Aces and Eights, you're never alone, or whatever their catchphrase is. I can't remember at this point. Anyway, that's what that was, and we got more plugs for next week's big match, Full Metal Mayhem. Not to be confused with March Mayhem, which took place on last Saturday night in Calgary, Alberta, Canada. Go to CanadianAllPro.com for details eventually whenever Tim gets them up from the show.
Yes. Which will not be soonish.
No, he's stuck in a hotel, bored.
Well, gee, he could be listening to our show right now.
He could be. I don't know if he is, but he could be.
Tim Stein, if you're listening to this show, make yourself known. Don't make me get the Ouija board.
But do we have the 8-ball for later?
Yes, we do have the 8-ball for later. It's sitting right here.
Get your questions ready, people. We're going to ask the Magic 8-Ball at the end of the show.
Yes, we are. We're going to do the new segment, Ask the Magic 8-Ball, yet again, because Rock has a question for it, which I already know the answer to.
I do?
The bunny.
Oh, the bunny. The bunny. The bunny. The bunny. Ah, yes, the bunny. I will get that bunny.
You are not going to get the bunny.
I am going to get your bunny.
You're not going to get my bunny.
I'm totally going to get your bunny. And replace
just for
it.
That, I'm going to eat it at the end of the show.
If you do... Anyway.
It's not like there's anything you can do to stop me.
I could distract you with things.
With what?
A sticky pickle.
Unless it's Taker sticky pickle.
Anyway, moving on.
Moving on, we have the 10-man tag match, which was a great match. Basically, I couldn't keep track of it because I was taking notes during the show, and I just kind of wrote down after massive amounts of chaos, Aces and Eights win. And all I can say is poor Joseph Parks. Which resulted in an epic tweet from him, but we'll get to that in Tweet of the Week.
Oh, there's a bunch of tweets from him from Tweet of the Week. He just tweeted tonight. Good match. Aces and Eights picked up the victory, sadly.
After a low blow.
Low blow.
To Joseph
Park.
Honey, it's called certain protective gear for that area. Invest in it.
And by the way, Matt, we'll keep it PG. I thought we did. Because you don't know what we're talking about. Don't mind us. We sit up late at night and talk about things. Things happen.
Just because we're talking about a sticky pickle doesn't mean we're talking about that. Get your mind out of the gutter, good lord. You offend my delicate sensibilities, sir.
Play ball.
It's not like I was the one that was, you know, making excuses for the fact that the Phillies lost by saying they can't handle wet balls.
Hey, we won today. Just
we did
saying.
Win today.
You can put your broom back in your closet.
For now.
Hey, you guys only got two hits, no runs today. I'm just saying, you guys couldn't do crap.
I'd like to point out, we got 9 hits yesterday.
Yeah, that was yesterday. I'm talking about today. Just saying.
But how many hits have we gotten over the last 3 days versus how many hits the Phillies got over the last 3 days?
Phillies win today. That's all that matters. You know... Yes.
Oh, was Halitaker on the bench?
today was not Undertaker's day to pinch. And yes, Tommy, the Braves suck.
The Braves do not suck. The Braves are awesome.
Stop the chop. Damn right. Hashtag stop the chop.
Nope. The chop. It's going to run over you, brother.
Oh, you're a Mets fan. I feel sorry for you.
A Mets fan? Good God, that's worse than being a Yankees fan.
Oh, this show's going to hell in a handbasket. Anyway.
And since we've now sidetracked the show with baseball, we're going to go back to Impact Wrestling now.
Sure.
And talk. So what were your thoughts on the 10-man?
The match. It was a good match. It's going to be a long season for the Mets. Anyway.
It's going to be a long season in general because we're probably going to be talking about baseball on the show because I'm going to make an effort to actually follow the Braves this year, and yeah.
She's going
so
to
it may be a long season.
She's going to make an effort to watch Braves just to rub it in my face all year. Just saying.
Yeah. Well, now I have somebody's face to rub it in, too. So, you know, especially when they play the Phillies again in July.
Yeah. It's going to be a fun season, people. Tune in every week. We're going to give each other loads of crap.
And then football season starts.
Oh, football season's amazing. Anyway, main event segment time. Cause we got stuff to do.
We do have stuff to do. All I can say is Bully Ray is one fantastic asshole for this segment. Before this, though, we have Brooke and Hogan talking backstage. Hogan doesn't want Brooke to go out there by herself, so she's going to bring Atlas Security with her.
Yeah, not just one, but two. You got to be protected, Brooke. You got to have the two big guys.
Which, just give her a chair or a kendo stick or something.
Give her a taser. Aren't you, like, isn't that what a thing women carry is, like a taser to ward off, you know, creeps?
Pepper spray.
Pepper spray, that works too.
Yeah, pepper spray and a club. She'll be fine.
I don't know where she can... Anyway, hide the club, but anyway.
I was going to say, it's not like she has anywhere to stick it in that dress, but anyway.
Well, anyway. I'm good.
Yeah, we're not going to go there.
I'm not going to go there. Just let everyone...
Let's at least keep this PG-13.
I wasn't... You know... You have this dirty mind of yours, and I'm just saying.
Well, seeing as we share one brain, your mind is my mind, so I know exactly where you were going with that, mister, so just don't even.
I continue.
Anyway, you have Bully Ray come out, and he talks about his marriage to Brooke. He talks about how he's missed her. How he loves her and how he wants her to come out and see him. To which he calls her out and she comes out in a huff with two very large Atlas security guards. And she is not happy to see him. He goes on to basically talk down to her. Ask her where her wedding ring is. Demands to know why she's not wearing it. And says he's wearing his, but he'll give her a bye. But, you know, she should be a good wifey and next week be wearing her ring.
Yeah, Brookie. Why aren't you wearing your wedding ring, Brookie? Why the security guards, Brookie? Love that. It's tremendous.
I mean, he's such a condescending jerk. It was fantastic.
You wonder if they were here for his protection. Because after all, she's crazy and a lunatic after lockdown.
She is. She went a little crazy.
Well, she has all rights to be, because, you know... For what he did, he's basically called her insane. And when you call a woman insane, well...
That's only AJ Lee.
No, that's crazy. Don't say crazy around AJ Lee.
But, anyway... So, basically, Bully says he has something for Brooke, and he holds up a manila envelope. The manila envelope that we've been wondering, what's in it all night?
Cookie recipe... Mama Ray's cookie recipe for chocolate chip cookies.
And she opens it, and well, nope. It's not Mama Ray's cookie recipe. It's not a prenup. It's not a court order. It's not anything. It's a ticket to next week's show in Corpus Christi. And he even propped for front row because he's such a good husband like that.
He is. He truly is. He wants to make sure his wife there gets a good front row seat to see him retain the World Heavyweight Championship.
Against Jeff Hardy.
Against Jeff Hardy. Yes.
To which Brooke basically says no. He continues to berate her a little bit more, to which she then slaps him rather hard in the face.
Because the line was, because honestly, Brooke, you've kind of let yourself go since lockdown.
Yeah, basically it was, he told her she wanted her to look as pretty as she possibly could, because honestly, well, Brookie, you've let yourself go.
Brookie, tremendous.
That was great. And she slaps him, to which he starts laughing at her, mocking her, saying all sorts of things. I mean, I can't even remember, and I wish I could, because the promo for this was absolutely epic. He was amazing in this. Like I said, he's such a condescending asshole, and he's so good at it.
He basically told her, I'm in your head so bad it's not even funny, and I've been in you since day one. And then she'd be basically, you want to slap me? You want to slap me again? I do. I'm going to do it. And then Jeff Hardy's music hit and outstormed the charismatic Enigma.
Yes, to save Brooks Bacon, as Bully was right on top of her. It was a great promo. The two brawled to end the show.
Nice finish. Sets up heat for next week's big world title match live in Corpus Christi, Texas.
It does. And I liked how they opened hot and they closed hot. It was really nice. Except now, well, Bully might have a case for spousal abuse.
You never know.
Just pointing that out. I'm curious to see where they go, and I'm curious to see if Brooke remains the innocent thing, or if she actually maybe turns and joins Bully and Aces and Eights. I guess we'll just have to see.
Got to wait and see. Next week on Impact, what could go down?
Live in Corpus Christi, Texas.
Get your tickets now. ImpactWrestlingTours.com.
Yes. But on that note, I think we're going to take a break. Our last one of the evening, I believe.
Yes, it's. Last one of the evening. It's going to be a little different break, but you'll see why.
You'll see why. So when we come back, we're going to have our final weather update. Not serious weather update, people. For WrestleMania, of course, Tweet of the Week, our Question of the Night discussion, and as always, or I should say as always, as we've been telling you all night, our full WrestleMania preview. So you're listening to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com. We encourage you to join in on the WrestleMania preview. Give us your thoughts, opinions, and picks, because we're also going to lay out our Pick'em Challenge. So like I said, you're listening to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, and we will be right back.
Tuesday nights, the Wild Talk Radio Network brings you Kayfabe Wrestling Radio with me, Alan Wojcik, and the Spud Guy. We'll bring you interviews with the biggest names from the past, present, and future in pro wrestling.
Hey everybody, this is Ed Buck. It's me. It's that D-O-double-G.
This is Jessica Havoc.
Hey everyone, this is Stevie Richards.
This is Harley Race.
This is the franchise Shane Douglas.
Plus, insight from the people who cover the business. It's Kayfabe Wrestling Radio, 9 p.m. Eastern, live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
I came to play. There's a price to pay. Time for you to get down on your...
What's up? This is WWE Superstar The Miz, and you are listening to Wild Talk Radio Network, and it is awesome.
Because the second that cast was off, I was back in the gym, busting my ass, but with no real goal in mind. Then I found myself sitting next to a hospital bed, looking at an old man who had just got done having hip surgery. And the thing is that that old man put aside the fact that his daughter, my wife, sat crying at that bedside. Put aside the fact that my kids, his grandkids, sat there crying at bedside. I sat there with a smile inside because I'd just found my reason. The ass kicker is back. The king of kings is back. The game is back. And he's calling you out for WrestleMania. So what's it gonna be, Brock? Are you gonna show up and fight?
The question is, will Brock Lesnar fight Triple H at WrestleMania? And the answer is yes! But, and ladies and gentlemen, there is a but attached to this. Brock Lesnar will fight Triple H at WrestleMania only if we get to name the stipulation. It will be Triple H versus Brock Lesnar at WrestleMania. No countout, no disqualification, no stopping the match for any single solitary reason, because your match against Brock Lesnar at WrestleMania will be no holds barred. I almost forgot. When you face Brock Lesnar at WrestleMania, the added stipulation that we picked is that your career is on the line.
I used to think that this job was my life, and in some respects it was. Then I met you and I realized I didn't care about this job anywhere nearly as much as you do. This job has become your life. You didn't put your career on the line. You put your life on the line.
You know I love you like a brother, right? But if you're trying to talk me out of this, Sean, save your breath. You're not going to talk me out of it.
I spend 364 days a year off, and I come here to tell you I don't think you can do it. I came here to tell you at WrestleMania you had better kick Brock Lesnar's ass.
I want to extend my heartfelt apologies for your loss at WrestleMania. The silver lining in all of this tragedy is that to Paul Bearer, you will always be perfect. You will always be 20-0. But to everybody else, you're going to be 20-1.
There's no escaping what's going to happen to you at WrestleMania. I'm gonna hurt you, and I'm gonna hurt you bad. You have one chance to save your own soul. I want that urn back.
I'm not gonna tell you I was born to beat the streak or that it's my destiny. No. I'm the one man in the world that can shoulder the burden of snapping your streak. Because I'm willing to walk through hell and endure whatever pain you see fit to inflict on me. I will beat the streak. I am the one that is going to end your undefeated streak at WrestleMania. Hell, I am the one in 20-1.
CM Punk, your historic title reign lasted well over 400 days. But the pain waiting on you at WrestleMania is going to last an eternity. Remember, Punk, it was you who decided to make this personal. And for that, you will suffer. Defeating you at WrestleMania is no longer good enough. The disrespect that you've shown Paul Bearer will cause you to pay the ultimate price. And you just may be right. In my current state of mind, the streak, it may come to an end Sunday, but you will never live to talk about it.
I told every single person who would listen, especially those very close to me, that I needed that match. That I needed to win that match. And I failed. That moment, that match at WrestleMania wasn't just a loss to The Rock. That match, that moment sent my life into a tailspin. Because I could not get over my obsession with the fact that I failed. I couldn't jump over that hurdle with the fact that I told these people I was going to get it done, and I didn't. I get a chance to rewrite history. This is more than just a match for me. This is a shot at redemption.
As much as it matters to you, John, it matters so much more to me. When my music hits and I walk down that ramp and I step in this ring and I connect with every single person in this arena from top to bottom and all the way around and connect to everyone at home, every man, woman, and child, our connection, our bond, our strength, John Cena, it matters to me. So you get something straight right now. You ain't getting redemption, Jack. You're getting your ass kicked.
Why are you going to beat The Rock at WrestleMania?
Because I have to.
Because you have to. That's it? Biggest match of your life? Because you have to? How about you wipe a monkey's ass with, I have to? Go ahead, tell the truth. Be honest. Rip yourself open. Go ahead, tell Donovan McMahon.
Because you didn't beat me. You didn't beat me. You cannot beat me. I beat me. Watch that back 100 times. I had your ass beat. I handled the best you got. And I had you down and out, and what did I do? What a better way to beat him in his hometown by using his own stupid move. One time, you personally got in the way of me, of making the easiest decision of my life. Here's the good news. That is never gonna happen again. This year, at WrestleMania, on April 7th, I step into the ring with you, and I do it my way, on my terms, because I know I am better than The Rock.
If you had me beat, you would have beaten me. But you didn't. To be the man. Woo. You gotta beat the man. You can't beat the man because you are not the man.
And welcome back to The Rack. That's right. It is our WrestleMania preview time, but before we get there, I think we need our little weather update, don't you?
I agree.
And now your Channel 20 and a WrestleMania weather forecast brought to you by
Sierra Hotel, India, Echo, Lima, Delta, Shield.
All right, and of course, here is the weather report, not series, brought to you by MintLinkPromo.com, because I forgot to tell you about them when we came up because I had a mouthful of ice. So, yes, go to MintLinkPromo.com. If for whatever reason you cannot get to access and you want autographs, go there. They've got everything you need.
They're going to be at WrestleMania, so...
So they may come back with some pretty fresh autographs. You never know. You may have some good ones.
You never know. You never, never know.
So, yes, this weather update, of course, and as always, brought to you by The Shield, which includes Dean.
It's going to be cold. It's going to be hot. It's going to be warm. It's going to freeze your ass off. It's going to be raining. It's going to snow. It's going to be a tornado. It's going to be a thunderstorm. It's going to be a hurricane. It's going to be a blizzard. Who the hell knows? It's going to be freaking WrestleMania. Just go. Be there. Be a part of the excitement.
Take a jacket just in case.
Yes. And pack up some sunscreen. The one thing you cannot bring is an umbrella.
Why?
Yeah, apparently you're not... Actually, this is serious. You're not allowed to have an umbrella. It's in the rules. You're not allowed to bring an umbrella.
Okay, well, I can see why it would obstruct people's views, but it's... Okay, well, I hope they're going to provide ponchos then.
Yes, ponchos are fine. Umbrellas you're not allowed to have. I guess it's a weapon and that sort of thing. You're not allowed to bring umbrellas into the stadium. Bring a poncho. Bring a snow jacket, a ski mask. Your shorts, your swimsuit.
Whatever you want. In all seriousness, it looks like it's been pretty nice weather. You may need a light jacket or a heavy jacket, depending on where you're from. But, yes, so check weatherchannel.com MLB.com. Make sure you don't see any two-headed sharks on there. And just go prepared.
If you've ever been to a baseball game in April, that's the weather.
Yeah, so just go prepared.
Just go prepared. That's our warning. Just go prepared. It's going to be a fun show. It's 4 hours of WrestleMania. 4.5, basically, what you're going to get live there. It's going to be a five-hour show, and, well, enjoy it if you're going.
And yes, have fun. Go for all of us who can't.
Yes. With that being said, Lindsay, I think it's time for Tweet of the Week.
I agree.
To be the kind of person spending time on MySpace until the spammers ended up taking over my place, and I was so bitter until I found Twitter. Ooh, a place where you can go ahead and write what you're feeling. 140 characters or less is what you're giving. My addiction starts to climb. I go to refresh my timeline, 'cause I won't stop tweeting. No more, no more. It cannot wait, I'm sure.
So I'm going to let you go first, because I know you have a bunch.
No, go first, because I don't want to steal any of the ones you have.
So, okay. Thank you to everyone who came out to the signing tonight. Here's some pics of you all screaming for my future Christmas cards. This is, of course, from AJ Lee, and then she tweets a whole bunch of pictures, which I'll post in the chat room. And then, of course, does anyone know if they make hot water hot enough to wash off your sins? No? Eh, just checking.
Have any others?
No, that's it. I'm good.
So with AJ Lee. And yes, I have figures of all my boyfriends. They're like trophies. Dirty little trophies.
Except somehow Kane manages to fall off.
Kane
manages
to fall off her shelf. I'm trying to search back for one, because one was I missed from a while ago. From the man you heard earlier tonight on the show, Joseph Park. His Twitter is Joseph_ESQ for Esquire. Not biting on this rib tonight. Boys said there are quote-unquote rats in the bar. I ordered takeout instead to celebrate my lockdown victory.
He's so adorable.
Trish, this starts with McFoley. No word from hashtag Santa Claus about attending WWE Hall of Fame. Won't feel right if he's not at the Garden on the 6th. Trish Stratus replied, maybe we should tweet him? And if you haven't heard
Trish, always a Girl Scout, always helpful.
Always helpful. Joseph Park tweeted tonight, after the show, or after his match, ice, ice, ice. The boys are ice.
You gotta do it right.
All right, then you do it.
Ice! 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 The boys are ice!
He continued. Go ahead.
I just figured, you know, you knew how that felt, so you could properly
explain. Yeah, I was trying not to think of how the... Can I continue now?
Yes, you can continue now.
He tweeted two more things. Ever watch a cartoon and when they get hit a little, birdies fly around their head? Well, those birds are there just south of the ...
Whatever does he mean?
He followed up by tweeting, my groin hurts.
Ever the polite gentleman that he is.
And from David Lagana, at Lagana on the Twitters. Favorite thing in the last year, watching people fall in love with Joseph Park.
You got us hooked, Lagana. Well done. We love him.
Well played, sir. Well played.
Very well played. And we have one final tweet of the week.
Okay.
From our very own Jersey girl, she sends to us, from the Miz, headed to the Weather Channel next. In a weird way, I'm hoping they'll say it'll snow during WrestleMania. #using snowballs as foreign objects.
Well played. Well played.
Well done, Miz. Very well done.
So that's Tweet of the Week.
So now we go into our full 10.5 minute, not really, WrestleMania
preview.
And yes, we are going to talk about the show in depth.
I took notes.
He did take notes. He took lots of notes.
Four pages of notes.
Yes, so I'm so sorry in advance.
You know what? Screw this. Screw it. You're on your own.
I'm on my own. I'm not totally on my own. He's still here because the show was still on the air.
Still here. Anyway, WrestleMania this Sunday. Live from MetLife Stadium, Lindsay.
Yes, who's excited?
I am. Are you?
Eh.
Alright, before we get going, let's remind the folks in the chat room, if you would like to play along, please play along. Put your picks in the chat room. But I would advise you, please send them to media@wildtalkradio.com to win a prize.
Yes.
Prizes. You can win an autographed copy from Kurt Angle. Autograph 8x10 of Kurt Angle and Rob Van Dam, courtesy of memlanepromo.com. The rules are simple. Get your picks in by Sunday at 5. Send them to media@wildtalkradio.com. Tweet them @wildtalkradio. Join the Facebook group, facebook.com/group/wildtalkradio network. Post them in there in the post we have. Do it on the Facebook page at facebook.com/wildtalkradio network, or you can do it at facebook.com/WTRTheRack if that's easier for you. You can send them on the RackRadioShow.com website. They all come to me, so it doesn't really matter. Just get them to me, and we can enter you in the contest. You can win a prize, courtesy of MemLeanPromo.com. You have to be in the U.S. or Canada. Sorry, overseas, I don't have the funds to ship.
Yeah, sorry about that, y'all. And yes, he does talk really fast. Wait till he does the plugs at the end of the show if you're around.
I'm trying to get it all out of the way. The rules are on the main page at wildtalkradio.com if you need the full slow-down version of it all.
And by the way, if you please do not send them to me on Facebook. Please don't. If you're friends with me on Facebook, if you know me on Facebook, please do not send them to me on Facebook. Please send them the official way, because they may or may not get passed on in time, because I do work nights.
So send them to me. Send them to me. I'm on her Facebook. Find Rock and Sock on her Facebook. I'm there.
If you're on my Facebook, if you know my Facebook and you can find it, bully to you. I may or may not add you, but please do not send me things.
Yes.
Unless they're something you want us to talk about on the show. But yes, please do not send your pics to me.
Just find me. I'm on there. And send them to facebook.com/SirRockin'. And that's how you get a hold of me. So do that if you really are inclined to get pics. Don't bug Lindsay, because I bug her enough and she's tired of that.
Yeah, not really. Do you have your show stuff done yet?
Yeah, that's how our conversations happen.
Yeah, totally.
Anyway, preview, let's get into this. Let's get into WrestleMania. I want to talk some WrestleMania. We've talked some TNA. I want to talk to some WWE. I want to talk to some WrestleMania. Let's do this.
Yes. So, in our pre-show on YouTube, which is going to be an hour long, which is pretty exciting, we're getting one match so far.
One 10-minute match, according to reports.
One 10-minute match.
Which means they're going to do videos early, and then, because if you think about it, you can't really do that many matches on the pre-show.
They could at least do two.
They could, but I'll explain why.
Okay, well, you explain why.
If you think about it, okay, people are going to be there for the four-hour show, correct?
Correct.
How many people are actually going to be there an hour ahead of time?
Everybody.
Are they actually going to be seated an hour ahead of time? I don't think so.
No, they won't.
So, that being said,
it takes you an hour just to get in the building.
Exactly. So that's why it's the normal pre-show starting at, you know, a half hour before the show. So that's when everyone's convening into the building and they're going to be able to see the show. So that's why they're doing the one match.
I mean, I get that. I totally get it. But if you're going to do 10-minute matches, you could take the last 20 or so minutes of the pre-show and do potentially two matches. You could do a quick Divas match, and you could do a quick, and then you could do the match that is on the card, which is Wade Barrett versus The Miz for the IC title, which seems such a shame, but what you gonna do?
There's nothing much you can do, but at least they're on the show. If you remember back years ago, this is WrestleMania 19 in Seattle, there was a certain match that got pushed to the it was on the main show, and then they all got pushed to the pre-show, which was the tag match between Kane and RVD and Val Venus and Lance Storm. I think that's who it was.
Yeah, I believe that was the one.
Yeah, so these would be known beforehand, and it's going to be seen on YouTube, and a lot of people are going to see it, and that's okay. People need the internet needs to get over it. Just pointing that out. It's my opinion. If you don't like my opinion, email me, and I'll tell you differently.
Well, yeah, I mean, I'm definitely agreeing. You know, it's a shame that this match got pushed to the pre-show, but at least it's on the show.
It's on the show, that's all that matters. And they've sort of built this match up, kind of, sort of. We thought, at least this is my opinion, that we were going with Cesaro and Miz to finish off the feud, but that seemed to finish off on SmackDown. And then these two guys had movies and stuff, and they sort of decided, oh, let's put these guys together and see where it goes. Barrett beat Miz at one point in a triple threat, and the Miz beat Barrett, so it's even Stevens. I guess that's how he got the title shot. They've trash-talked on Raw and Main Event. And
yeah, and you know what? To be fair, it's they need to do something with Miz, and they need to do something with Barrett. I mean, I agree, they need to do something with everybody, but these two guys in particular, they need to do something with them. They should be on the show in some capacity. It's nice to see them on the pre-show. And I'm somewhat interested in it, just because they have done a nice job for what they've done in trying to build it.
They've put in an effort, whether it was the best of effort, it was effort nonetheless. And they're giving us a reason for the match, and that's all that matters.
Exactly. That's the one thing you can say about this card, is every match has a purpose. Every match has a reason.
Right, and in my opinion, this is just me, if they were on the main show, they might have gotten lost in the shuffle a little bit.
Right. At least here they can shine.
The most must-see pre-show in WrestleMania history.
Yes. And by the way, we interviewed The Miz a little while back, so go check it out. RockRadioshow.com.
So
cheap with, plug.
Cheap plug. I did the point for cheap plug. So... Given all of the events that have transpired and things that have been happening, who do you see coming out with the Intercontinental title? Will it be the Wade Barrett or the Miz?
I want to say Wade keeps it, but I would really, honestly at this point, I'd like to see them do something with either of them if they get the title. I think there's a little bit more opportunity for Miz, but at the same time, it's like, it all depends. So, I will say Wade, but in my heart, I kind of want to see Miz get it, just because I think they can do more with him with that title.
To keep up his undefeated streak and then eventually challenge The Undertaker for his at some point in about 15 years, The Miz wins the Intercontinental Championship on the WrestleMania pre-show. I guess that counts on the winning streak at WrestleMania. I guess they're going to count it anyway. Miz wins the Intercontinental Championship and ending the reign of the Wade Barrett and moving on Wade onto maybe possibly at some point feuding with somebody who might win a certain title later in this show.
Who? Well, you could also see Barrett go on to win Money in the Bank, and that's why I'm like, it's complicated, because it's like, you could, you know, but Barrett could conceivably hold on to the IC title until Money in the Bank, and then move on from there.
I don't think this is the last of the matches between them. I think Miz wins, and then we get a rematch either on Raw or on the Extreme Rules pay-per-view in May, on May 19th.
Which Kane said in an interview, he's over, and I'm most disappointed.
He says that now until he hears it.
No, until he hears Brian say it.
Repeatedly in his ear. May 19th. So there we go.
Yes, and we're being told Payback is right after WrestleMania.
No, it's not.
Okay.
It's Extreme Rules. Payback is in June.
Okie dokie.
I read my WWE.coms.
I know you do. So now we shift to the main show, because the rest of the pre-show will be highlight packages, promos, interviews, probably footage from Access, anything that they showed on SmackDown, and maybe more.
Yes, and maybe more. Tweets, touts, you name it, it's going to be there.
Yeah, it's going to be a very social media interactive pre-show, so we'll have to see how it goes.
So, basically, where should we start? Should we go just by the list I wrote?
Yes, that would be easiest.
Easiest way to do it by the list I wrote. All right. Chris Jericho Fandango. This one's interesting. We've had Jericho come back, Royal Rumble. Many were surprised. I know I was. Indeed, were you, Jericho, coming back in the Rumble?
Oh, yeah. Nobody was expecting Jericho to come back in the Rumble.
Especially at number two, because, you know, he's been out. And if you haven't, if you want to hear Chris Jericho, tune into the archives right here at WildTalkRadio.com for our interview with Chris Jericho on Wrestle Talk Radio. We talked to all the big names, I'm just saying. Then we had Fandango debut after multiple, you know, sort of debut, teaser debut. We had promo packages for a while. How do you say his name? Is it Fandango? You know, whatever. Chris Jericho does it better than like what it could ever do.
He still wants his movie tickets, by the way.
He still is waiting for his movie tickets to see G.I. Joe. Now in theaters. Which Mace totally said sucked. We've had, when he messed up the name, we had a conversation between the two. Jericho and Fandango have been getting at a little bit. Fandango mostly has interfered and attacked Jericho multiple times, leaving him laying with leg drop after leg drop after leg drop from the top rope. I like this program, and I hate to say it, Fandango's starting to grow on me thanks to Jericho. I want to see this match, and I didn't think I would be saying that about 4 weeks ago.
Yeah, this match is, you know, when you first heard it, it's like Jericho versus Fandango. You're going, oh, God, I don't want to see it. It's going to be a waste. Why are they doing this with Jericho? You basically bemoan it, and you just don't want to see it. But they have done a really nice job of building heat between the two, because I think originally the rumor was that it was going to be a dance-off.
And I'm glad they've totally stayed away from even referencing Chris Jericho and Dancing with the Stars.
Yeah. Well, I don't think for legal purposes they can, because Dancing with the Stars is on ABC and they're an NBC network.
I guess legally, and since it actually goes up against someone, I would want to mention it. That being said, perfect spot to debut the Fandango?
I would say so, and I say, you know, I can see Fandango going over just because I think Jericho's getting ready to go on tour with Fozzy again.
Yeah, he is. He's going to be gone, but he's going to do a show in England, SmackDown or Raw, whenever there's a free day over in London. So, like a certain Deadman will be London exclusive.
Yeah, by the way, screw you, dude. The fact that we don't get to see you on TV, that's crap.
We don't know. It's just people reading into things. Just saying. Cause, anyway. I agree, perfect spot to debut Fandango. It's interesting that they're really putting Fandango on a pay-per-view for his debut match. You really don't see that much at WrestleMania for a guy debuting at WrestleMania. And this is the first of two men who will actually be debuting on this show.
Correct. And it just goes to show how highly, at least, management thinks of Fandango. The fact that they're putting him in his debut match at WrestleMania. They're putting him against Jericho.
Which, if you think about it, he's the right guy for Fandango?
He is. He's a nice, experienced hand. He can take the loss, honestly. It's going to be a good match. They should blend well together, because I have no doubt in Johnny Curtis. Fandango, whatever you want to call him.
Right.
But I think they will mesh well together, and plus they've built a nice little feud for themselves. So I'm interested to see what they do.
I'm interested to see what they do as well with him, just how the match goes off and what they do, since they seem to invest a lot of money into this character.
Actually, I'm more curious to see what they do for Fandango's entrance.
Well, yeah, they've been building things, and they have a light-up thing, and yeah. It's going to be interesting. Vince McMahon is very high on the Fandango. It's his new pet project. Hell, out of everything, Fandango was at the press conference today. Dancing.
He's been doing surprise TV appearances. He's been doing, surprise radio appearances. So, yeah, he's definitely, definitely high up on their list.
So, you have to wonder, do some of the people resent him for getting the spot on this show with the Jericho?
Maybe. Guess we're not backstage, so I guess we don't know.
Anyone backstage? No? Anyone? No?
So, no? Okay.
No. I don't see anyone. So who are you going with in this match?
I'm going with Fandango. I don't see him losing his debut match. They're obviously think enough of him to put him on the main show, even if he may be the curtain jerker. They're putting him up against Jericho. They can have him wrestle Jericho, win, and probably win in a shady fashion, which will continue the feud. And then they will potentially go on if Jericho's around for Extreme Rules, which I think he is.
Because that's 6 weeks from now, so yeah.
And then Jericho, they can finish it up at Extreme Rules, and then Fandango can move on to whomever, and then Jericho can go out on tour with Fozzy.
Go ahead.
To me, it makes sense to have Fandango go over.
I'm with you. I'm going with Fandango.
By the way, when he says his name, it's really creepy.
It is. It is really creepy.
His voice is really creepy, but I have to give props to Johnny Curtis for doing the voice.
And you gotta think, Vince McMahon, how many times has he said the name Fandango?
I have to wonder if they don't, do that into the announcer's headsets right before he's starting to come out. Fandango.
I liked how, going back to the press conference today, they had a Q&A afterwards with John Cena, and Matt Stryker asked him some question, and he wanted his response, and Cena's response was, Fandango, and just walked away.
That was amazing. I also liked how John Cena turned heel at the press conference. That was great.
If you haven't seen it, it's on the Facebook page at facebook.com/WTRTheRack. John Cena turned heel tonight.
It just goes to prove that they do pay attention to the internet marks, and they laugh at us. Just saying. But yeah, and according to Stone444 in the chat room, the WrestleMania stage is supposed to be just like the logo, only 20 times bigger. I would agree with that. If you've seen the early pictures, just go look at how they're doing the enclosure for the ring.
Yeah, they have the Statue of Liberty at the top.
A full-size Statue of Liberty, it looks like, or at least a somewhat scaled-down full-size. It's big.
It's big. It's tremendous. So check that out.
And that's not all they have. They have a massive Empire State Building, too. So I'm curious to see how they do the setup. But yeah, it looks like it's going to be really impressive this year.
Tommy, they're on our Facebook page. I put it out there at facebook.com/WildTalkRadioNetwork. So there you go.
There you go.
I put stuff out, so, follow along. And they're probably on the Twitter, because every Facebook and Twitter link. Anyway, next contest. WWE Tag Team titles are on the line. The Anger Buddies, a.k.a. Team Hell No, take on the Ziggle, the Ziggles, Dolph Ziggler, and Big E Langston with AJ Lee in the corner. This one started with, well, AJ getting water dumped on her by Ricardo, and then Daniel Bryan and AJ had a little back and forth, about 18 seconds, which was tremendous, back on SmackDown. And then we've seen come sort of different interactions between Daniel Bryan and Ziggler, AJ trying to distract both Daniel Bryan and Kane a couple times, which Kane gets distracted more times than not. Daniel Bryan just runs up in her face and screams no, which is tremendous if you haven't seen
which
it on main
awesome.
Event. If you haven't seen it on main event.
Go watch it.
Go watch it. After this show, of course. So they've been... They basically said that Daniel Bryan and Kane are now on the same page, as it were, thanks to AJ. She's the one person that can bring them together.
Aww.
So what are you thinking about this match?
This is one of the ones I'm looking forward to, just because I am curious about Big E's debut. I'm curious to see what he can do. And also, I'm very curious to see what factor AJ is going to play in this match. I think, just given the history, she's going to have a big part in it. And as everybody knows, I'm a huge mark for AJ and Kane.
Yes.
And I kind of want to see something happen there, so...
She believes there's some flirtations that have been going on. Just looks.
And depending on where this falls in the show, I wouldn't mind seeing either on the pre-show or somewhere like a backstage promo on the show of AJ potentially distracting Kane or trying to seduce Kane or whatever.
But you figure AJ's going to play a big role into this matchup, including the finish, possibly?
Oh, definitely.
Do we see Caitlyn getting involved?
I can see Caitlyn getting involved, but I'm not sure. They teased it, and then they backed off of it, so I don't know.
So it makes you wonder where they see her. Will she play a role? They're building her up on the YouTubes on WWE.com as well. That you know, her training. So they're following AJ along, and they're following doing stuff with Caitlyn. It makes you wonder if they have something planned for them. There's got to be a moment for the two of them.
I would hope so.
I would. So it makes you wonder. I'm going to ask you guys in the chat room. Have our favorite anger buddies actually become the same buddies? Are they now just calmer and stuff like that? It's quite interesting. I'm not sure. I think they've kind of toned down and. Usually their powers come from being angry, and they're not as angry right now.
Well, Kane's angry, he's not angry at Daniel Bryan.
No, they're not angry at each other, yeah. That's what I mean. They're not angry at each other anymore. They're kind of, united in that front. As we mentioned in the previous match, with Fandango making his debut on the show, Big E is also making his debut on this show.
Which, again, that speaks to what management thinks of him, the fact that they built him up to the point that you want to see him wrestle, and then now we're going to get to see him wrestle at WrestleMania.
And I think it's right having him team with Ziggler. I think Ziggler is the perfect guy to have him second, as it were.
I would agree with that.
Because Big E's learning. He's the NXT champion, I believe, at this point. So he's, working his way up the system and having him, come in and do some big spots, big power spots, especially with Kane, that could look devastating on the show. I think it's a good move. It's a good placement for him. He's not out there, on his first singles match on TV. They're breaking him in, and it's going to be in front of 75,000 strong. Yes, folks. 75,000 strong.
Yeah, and hopefully he doesn't get too nervous. But I mean, as we saw on Raw Monday Night, you had Big E break Kane's grip, which was incredibly impressive to see. So the power exchanges between those two should be very interesting.
I would agree, and it's going to make for some interesting moments during the matchup. So, basically, the question is, are we going to see new tag team champions?
I say no. I say hell no keeps them.
You say hell no keeps them? Why?
Mm-hmm. For whatever reason, I don't see the team of Ziggler and Langston going long term. Mm-hmm. And it all depends on where this match falls in the show versus where the World Heavyweight Championship match falls in the show. Because remember, Ziggler's got the briefcase, and I know we call it every pay-per-view he's going to cash in, but he said, I think, that he's going to be the first person to cash in at WrestleMania. So he could feasibly do it. So it just, it's all dependent on where everything falls.
I'll throw this interesting scenario out to you. What if they win the tag titles? What if at some point AJ wins the Divas title and then Dolph Ziggler is also the World Heavyweight Champion?
They're going to have to get AJ a cart to hold all that gold.
Mm-hmm, because she's a small girl. And if she has to carry all that gold around, they might weigh her down.
I can see that scenario, but I can't at the same time.
Right.
I mean, to be fair, the Divas title isn't even being defended on the show this year, as far as we know. Unless they stick it on the pre-show or somehow ends up as a filler match on the main show, your Divas title isn't even on this year.
Right.
So think about that one.
Yeah. So for me, I'm going to agree, Team Hell No retains the titles. I've been torn all week. I know I made the prediction on WTR. Hell no. Let's go hell no. They're going to keep the gold. But we'll get into Ziggler a little bit more as we get through this show.
Yeah.
Up next, the Ryback takes on the Mark Henry. Stare downs have been the big thing about this setup between the two. First started on Old School Raw and a SmackDown. We saw Mark Henry beat up Ryback on a SmackDown, trying to injure him. We had a weightlifting challenge on SmackDown, using weights on Ryback without actually touching him. Ryback then threw Santino at Henry on Raw. And there was a moment where they were, you know, had handicap matches where I can do this, can you do it? Which man's more powerful? It's been back and forth. Who's the stronger of the two? Is it Mark Henry or is it the Ryback? This one's interesting.
It has an interesting dynamic to it because the likelihood of Ryback getting Mark Henry up on his shoulders to do his finishing move is highly unlikely.
Right.
So it takes away the majority of Ryback's offense, and now he has to actually fight.
Yes, this is the first time Ryback's not going to be as strong as one of the men he's in the ring with. They're going to be equals, or even he could be at the disadvantage. And it's like, is this a chance for Ryback to have his big WrestleMania moment?
I would say he needs something at this stage for them to continue his momentum because he sort of lost it after TLC and he never got it back. He's just kind of sort of been drifting ever since then. I mean, what do you think?
Yeah, he has. Stone444 brings up in the chat room. Remember when Ryback botched the lifting Tensai? Yeah, I remember that. That also had a little bit to do with one man named Tensai, not helping. Ryback needs a win. He needs a big win because he really hasn't won a big match since ever. If you think about it, what's the most memorable win in the career of Ryback?
I can't think of one.
That's the problem.
Yeah.
He was hot, he was on his winning streak, and then he got cooled off when he lost to CM Punk in Hell in a Cell, replacing John Cena. Since that point, he hasn't really won a match on pay-per-view. He's beat, like, Antonio Cesaro and Dolph Ziggler on TV, but it's... They're TV matches. It's not anything that stands out.
I mean, at this stage for Ryback, we all know what's going to happen. He's going to come out. He's going to do his little wave. He's going to walk to the ring. He's going to put two guys on his shoulders. He's going to slam them, and then he's going to scream, "Feed me more."
Right.
It's Ryback.exe, click it and run. And so they really do need to shake him up a little bit and do something different with him, and I think putting him against somebody who is his equal, at least as far as strength is concerned, and is bigger than him, is what he needs. Because it's like, you know, you can only... It's like what I said it when he first debuted. Great. You can pick two skinny guys up on your shoulders, and you can slam them down. Fantastic. You can do that time and time again. Pick up two guys the size of Mark Henry, and then, you know, maybe I'll be impressed. Or pick up Mark Henry. Pick up Tensai.
Yes, I agree.
And it's... They've kind of got him stuck in this rut. He's kind of drifting. He's really pretty listless at this stage. They're just doing the same thing over and over with him, and it's... You need to give him the win on the pay-per-view, or you need to do something else. And I'm kind of wondering if management hasn't cooled on him a little bit.
It's possible they've cooled on him. To me, I see a WrestleMania moment in my head. I see Ryback having Mark Henry up on his shoulders. I see him hitting the shell shock on Mark Henry. But it's with help from Mark Henry possibly going on the ropes at some point. So he doesn't have to really deadlift him up. He can just get him on his shoulders and drop him.
Yeah, that's what I'm seeing. Henry goes for something high risk, and Ryback gets him up on his shoulders, and then that's it.
And the words Mark Henry going high risk just scream trouble to begin with.
Yeah, I can also see this one potentially going to a no contest, and the feud honestly continues until they go to, like, Extreme Rules. And you do it that way. I mean, it's just they're too evenly matched, and they take each other out, or something else happens, or somebody wins by DQ. Something. I can see them pulling shenanigans in this match, just because it's a lower level match. I'm sure people are interested in it, but it's not going to be a barn burner.
I can promise you this, it would be better than the match we riffed on WTR WrestleMania riffs at wildtalkradio.com/WrestleMania, where we riffed Goldberg and Brock Lesnar at WrestleMania 20.
Yeah, but that was just funny, because basically they were all like, F you in the middle of the ring, so, because Brock was leaving.
And so was Goldberg.
And so was Goldberg, so it's like, well, screw you, I don't have to do anything. So, but yeah, it should be a decent match, but it's not going to be... It's not anything I'm particularly looking forward to seeing, just because it's like, eh? Henry doesn't really do anything for me, and Ryback certainly doesn't do anything for me.
I have a little bit more interest than you, but that's just me, because I want to see these two big guys collide at WrestleMania.
Don't break the ring. They need it.
They need their 4-hour show. I'm going Ryback. You going...
I'll go right back, yeah.
Moving along on the card, Randy Orton, Sheamus, and The Big Show take on Roman Reigns, Seth Rollins, and...
Dean!
A.K.A. The Shield. They've become one of the most dominant trios in the last decade. I'm just pointing that out there. They've really been booked that way. And they've kind of taken out some big stars along the way, haven't they, Lindsay?
Oh, yes, they have. They've laid out The Rock. They've laid out, I believe, CM Punk.
John Cena. They've taken out Kane, Daniel Bryan. They've taken out Randy Orton. They've taken out Sheamus. They even triple powerbombed Big Show on Old School Raw on the WWE app, if you don't have the WWE app.
They triple power bombed Kali. Poor Roman Reigns. Oh my god, I thought he was going to collapse.
And the build to this has been Randy Orton, Sheamus, and now Big Show looking for revenge, and basically Randy Orton and Sheamus got on the same page. It was then, can they trust the Big Show? Because originally it was supposed to be Ryback in this matchup, but Big Show was inserting after Ryback was taken out to fight Mark Henry. The question is, can they fully trust Big Show in this matchup?
Well, I think it's more, can they fully trust anybody in this matchup?
That is the big question, because everyone's now figuring somebody's going to turn.
It's a question of whether it's going
Randy Orton, will it be Sheamus? Will it be Big Show turning back as the heel? We just don't know who it's going to be, and that's the biggest question. That's the biggest question, is who's going to turn? Do you guys think anyone's going to turn in this matchup? Here's a better question. Would you be disappointed if someone didn't turn in this match? That's the question. Will you be disappointed if, say, we get a straight-up matchup between the three? Randy Orton's not going to TNA. He signed a long, long, long-term deal with WWE a couple years ago. Randy Orton's there, as the NWO would say, for life. So, he's not going anywhere. But will he... I know, I'm just interacting with you because I have no co-host at the moment. Comcast. Anyway. Is Randy Orton a better heel or face? What do you guys think? Is he a better heel or is he a better face? Heel, face, whatever. I'm kind of seeing Randy Orton turning and just go with it just to see where he goes with it. Because everyone's also saying John Cena should turn heel, but if you're turning John Cena, well, then you need a baby face, and then you can't do Randy Orton. Straight-up match will be fine. No heel turn is necessary. This is true, but don't people want their WrestleMania moment? Don't people want to see that WrestleMania moment between something shocking instead of being predictable? That's what I'm just figuring. I get the feeling in this one we're gonna see a turn. I would kind of be interested to see Sheamus turn, because happy-go-lucky Sheamus works, but at the same time, it doesn't. Yes, she's seen a turn heel. Turned heel today, yes. We talked about it a little bit a while ago. So for me, in this one, I'm leaning towards the Shield. That's who I'm going to go with. The Shield's going to keep the titles. Not titles. Get the victory. Keep looking strong. Keep looking dominant. And I'm thinking Randy Orton's the one who turns. I don't see him as a new member of the Shield. I just don't. He just doesn't work. But I'm also figuring, well, if he turns, it might take away from the victory of the Shield just a little bit. That's what I'm thinking. If he turned, it just takes away from the Shield's victory, but I'm not possibly sure. Lindsay, hi.
Hi, screw you, Comcast.
I was like, do my internet drop? Anyway. What do you think about?
Sorry about that, folks.
What do you think about this matchup?
This is one of the ones I'm really looking forward to. Just because you're not quite sure how it's going to go. The Shield are absolutely fantastic together. They're one of the most cohesive tag teams or stables or whatever you want to call it that they have right now in the company. Right. If not the most cohesive. They work so well together. They've been booked perfectly up until this point. I do think, as I was saying before Comcast decided to drop, that somebody's going to turn. My money is on Randy Orton at this stage.
Would someone turning heel hurt Shield's big WrestleMania win?
I don't think it would. I think if it's something of the effect of either Orton or Show turn, and they walk, or Sheamus for that matter, any three of them could turn, and they walk out on the match. They leave the other two hanging. The Shield would simply take advantage.
Which is what they're known for.
Which is what they're known for. The Shield is known for paying the numbers game, so it's to their benefit that somebody turns.
Right.
It would be good if it was Orton, just because he walks out on the match, and then they get to triple powerbomb the Big Show, potentially at WrestleMania, which would be hugely impressive.
User 84836 says, Shield wins, but a turn happens after the match, not as part of the finish. I can see that. Someone gets frustrated with the finish and turned. Show is still heel-ish, but he's been leaning face for this build-up, so... Show's not the big one that matters with the turn. It's either Orton or Sheamus, for the most part.
Yeah, I mean, it's... Show is technically a heel, but they're not really doing anything with him as a heel. He turned last year after the deal with Laurinaitis, and he's been a heel since then. And I honestly think it's time for him to come back face and maybe do something else.
We shall see. Shield?
I'm going with Shield, absolutely.
Me too. Up next, Tons of Funk and the Funkadactyls take on Team Road Scholars and the Bella Twins. Yes, the Bella Twins are back. And Damian Sandow has brought in the Bella Twins to keep Cody Rhodes' mind off of Caitlyn, and, well, we've seen some interactions with the Bella Twins and the Funkadactyls on SmackDown, and we've seen some matches back and forth, yada, yada, yada. Who you got?
Honestly, I'm going with Rhodes Scholars and the Bellas, just because the Bellas are returning. They're going to look to give them a big moment on the pay-per-view. The fact that they've even put the match on the pay-per-view shows that, obviously, somebody's got some, pardon the pun, weight in that match. And so I'm honestly thinking it's the Bellas, as far as to make them happy for their contract, and because they came back, they're going to give them a win at WrestleMania.
I'm going with Tons of Funk and the Funkadactyls for the simple reason of what you mentioned. You don't miss with the Black Girl and her booty.
I know, I'm looking forward actually to Cameron and Naomi going in the ring, because they can both go.
Right.
And
it
will be nice when they eventually split off and go and do their own thing in the Divas division, and I'm looking forward to that, because it's about damn time they put some good female wrestlers in the Divas division. No offense to the girls in there now, but they need more.
Give us more, yes. So I'm going with Team Funkadactyls, she's going with Team Rhodes Scholars.
I mean, honestly, who can vote against Damian Sandow and Cody Rhodes? Seriously.
I just did.
How dare you?
You swayed me with the Black Girl booty. You just don't cross it. You can't mess with it. That's what I'm saying.
Bad form, sir. Bad form.
World Heavyweight Championship. Alberto Del Rio versus Jack Swagger. Before I get into the long spiel, tiebreaker for this one is, how long will Ricardo do the whole introduction for Alberto Del Rio? So make that note in your picks when you send them into MediaWildTalkRadio.com. So Jack Swagger returned. Gone for about 6-7 months. Enters the chamber. Wins it, surprisingly. Zeb Coulter debuts the night after, giving Jack Swagger more of a new attitude. We've seen some promos about we the people and all that other fun stuff. Raise the eyebrows in WWE and mainly outside media. And then they pulled back a little bit. Things got physical when Jack Swagger broke the ankle of Ricardo. Now the man who was born in Mexico but made in America is looking for revenge for his fallen buddy, and wants to retain the World Heavyweight Championship, Lindsay. We thought, 6 weeks ago, this wasn't even going to happen because of all the legal troubles Mr. Swagger was in, but we got the match anyhow.
This one is a tricky one to call, because it's because of the legal troubles. We know the charges are still pending against Swagger. I'm pretty sure he's not going to go to jail. They'll probably just fine him and give him community service. The company will probably work something out, but I doubt that's how you want to start his title reign. or have that happen with your world heavyweight champion is for him to have to go to court for drug possession and DUI. So it's on that hand. Plus, Swagger, as far as we know, was never publicly punished. He could have been privately, and we just don't know. But it was never made public what was done, if anything was done. So all of that counts against Swagger winning the match, but at the same time, Del Rio is not getting over how they want. And I think they may just try to do a change to Swagger, just because, like it or not, Swagger is a heat magnet.
He is.
And it somehow makes sense to have Del Rio chase.
It does.
Because you take the belt off Swagger, you have Del Rio chase, and then suddenly, you know, it's the underdog story where, you know, he's trying to redeem himself in the eyes of everybody because he's lost to the bigot. But
right.
What message does it send that the bigot wins?
Yeah, that was the question.
And then on the other hand, there are a lot of other hands in this match. If Del Rio ends, the feud's done. Swagger's done. The character's done. Everything's done. So it's like, how do you do this?
Do you give the belt to Swagger and try to continue the feud? Or, as everyone's been predicting, will Dolph Ziggler cash in?
Yes, there is that wild card. Dolph Ziggler still has his Money in the Bank briefcase. He has not cashed in as of yet. That's why I'm kind of wondering if you could have Swagger win, and then he gets robbed.
That'd be interesting.
Or the opposite. You have Del Rio win,
and then Ziggler cashes in there. And then you can keep things going, possibly. I'm not sure, but...
Yeah, it's just... Something tells me that Del Rio will win just because Swagger will have to go away, at least to handle his legal issues. So they're going to want to sort of minimalize him on TV. Plus, Swagger was originally Vince's pet project, and Vince now has a new pet project. So, it could be that Swagger may be falling out of favor again, and we may see him slowly start to fade off into the sunset, because he's not getting nearly as much attention as he did before.
This is very true.
So, maybe Vince's affections are waning, and maybe they're shifting onto a safer bet as far as a superstar is concerned. And so... I mean, honestly, I say Del Rio retains with a very good chance that possibly Ziggler cashes in.
I'm going Swagger wins the World Heavyweight title. And
ooh, aren't you controversial?
And no cash-in.
No cash-in, okay.
No cash-in. Up next, The Undertaker and CM Punk. Undertaker returned to WWE at Old School Raw, claiming he's back. Just, you know, logo showed up. He's coming to WrestleMania. Vicky Guerrero creates a fatal four-way with CM Punk winning. Stare down. There we go. And that's your setup. Then, sadly, Paul Bearer, William Moody, passed away. And basically changed this entire dynamic. WWE pays tribute to Paul Bearer. CM Punk interrupted Undertaker not once, but twice. In their tributes, second time CM Punk laid out Kane with the urn and taking possession of said urn. Since that point, Undertaker has been looking to get back the urn, with CM Punk claiming that he will do whatever it takes to get under the skin of the Undertaker. He will be the one in 2001 and will do anything he can by any means necessary to win at WrestleMania, whether it's by disqualification, countout. He will do whatever it takes to get under that skin to piss off the Undertaker to cause that to happen. Undertaker finally got his hands on CM Punk a couple weeks ago. We saw the fire we've been wanting. But CM Punk keeps the urn. Then this past Monday, the Undertaker eviscerated CM Punk verbally. Drew showed up. Paul Heyman dressed as Paul Bearer. Punk attacks Taker with the urn multiple times, leaving him laying, and then dumping ashes from there. This is where I'll shut up and let Lindsay go.
I have to collect myself as I sit here and browse the dirt sheets to see if anything happened tonight because, well, as we said at the top of the show, Taker replaced Ric Flair in the VIP access, and, well, a certain Mr. Punk was signing before Taker. So I was hoping that maybe they would make, like, one last shot at the show with Taker and Punk to sort of continue to put heat on it. Everybody is over the moon for this match, except for me. And I want to be over for it so badly, and I understand, before I go into this whole rant, I understand that Mark Calloway has lost a very dear friend in his life, and this has probably been exceptionally difficult for him to do. So I get that. I get that he has not been himself. But I have to say that on his side, not Punk's, but Taker's side, it's been a little bit of a letdown just because he has not been as involved in this feud as at least I would have liked to see. And I know a lot of people have told me, well, it's not up to him, but it is. He's the Undertaker. CM Punk has grossly disrespected his very dear friend who has passed away. He has stolen the urn. He is taunting the Undertaker with it. The Undertaker, at least the Undertaker of old, would have been stalking him night and day to get it back. We would have seen shots of CM Punk standing in a bathroom with The Undertaker looking over his shoulder in the mirror. We would have seen The Undertaker waiting for him backstage. I made the point to Rock that when Kane, over Memorial Day, put The Undertaker in a vegetative state with a jar of pickles or cucumber sandwiches, take your pick, if you know the reference. Sticky pickle, yes. Taker sticky pickle, as we'll call it. Over anyway, Kane puts Taker in a vegetative state over Memorial Day. Taker stood up on top of the building watching for Kane and waited for him. And I know that's so 3 years ago, but that's the kind of stuff that you expect from The Undertaker. You don't expect him to stand there and just take it. You expect him to have those bursts of energy like when he went after CM Punk. You expect him to get angry. You expect him to get upset. And I actually want to see him get angry. I want to see him get upset. I want to see him go backstage and rip it apart. I want to see him stalk CM Punk, to stalk Paul Heyman, to demand answers out of Paul Heyman. That's really what I needed to see out of The Undertaker. And I understand why we didn't get it, but we just didn't get it. And they had so many opportunities, at least in my eyes, to do it, because you didn't have to necessarily do it on the show. You could have done it as a WWE app special. You could have put it up on YouTube. You could have put it up on the website. You could have touted it, for the love of God. And it still would have had the same effect. It's just, this feud, at least for me, has been kind of a letdown. And I feel bad saying that, and I feel like such a bratty fangirl, because it's like, well, damn it, I want more, but we're only getting Taker, what, 5 weeks this year?
Something like that, yes.
And in comparison to last year, which I know I'm not supposed to compare it to last year, but I'm sorry, I'm going to compare it to last year, we haven't gotten nearly the same amount. And it's just, it's like you feel, at least I feel, a little bit cheated in a way.
Now, with that being said, they've done some things right.
Oh, yeah, I agree. They have done some things right.
And we kind of figured this out, and I think this would have made Lindsay happy if they went in the direction. And I know her sticking point, because she's liked the last 2 weeks. And she's liked the tribute show. Correct? Am I wrong by saying
yes.
that?
Yes. Yeah, I like the tribute show.
There was this, the week following the tribute show, which is stuck in her crawl a little bit, and that's where this storyline's not coming together, is when they had Punk, the most talked about thing of Punk dropping the urn. And they didn't follow up on it. We all thought, okay, The Undertaker wants the urn back, but why didn't he go after it? He just stood in the ring there and watched him drop it. If The Undertaker went after CM Punk on that night in the ways you described, you would have been sold completely. Correct?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
So that's why this is missing that. The best way I put it to her the other day was, say you have a jigsaw puzzle with 500 pieces, and it comes with 499 of them, and you're just missing that one piece that drives you insane. Did it not come with the box? Where is it? Did I lose it? It's just not there. It's missing. And that's what's missing for her in this match.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure it will be a good match. I'm sure it will be entertaining. They're two of the best. It's going to be fine. But just for me, it's missing the spark. And I understand that I'm sure a lot of circumstances played into what they could and they couldn't do. I know a lot of people are upset with them using William Moody's death. I know a lot of people are upset with, you know, Punk dropping the urn. I know a lot of people are even more upset with the spilling of the ashes Monday night. And rightfully so, I can understand why people are. I'm not. That doesn't bother me.
No, I'm in agreement with her. I was not bothered by it.
I think it's just, it's Monday night was like if they had one more week to go and they did something else after Monday night, if we got Taker's reaction to Monday night, I think that would do it. But again, we're not getting the other side of Taker. Punk is doing all the selling in this match, and for me at least, it's just not working. It's like, I need Taker to participate a little bit more. And, you know, I already know pretty much more than likely what's going to happen in this match is Taker's going to walk out there and beat Punk like a steel drum.
But it will be at the point of, will he cross that line? Will he get himself disqualified? Does he want to injure CM Punk that badly that he will cross the line and finally end the streak on his own by getting disqualified? Because this is the first time in a while The Undertaker has ever... It's the first time ever, not in a while, the first time ever he said the streak could end at WrestleMania. Those are telling words from The Undertaker.
Yeah, and he's willing to sacrifice the streak to get the urn back, which is a very powerful statement. He's willing to sacrifice everything he is to get that urn back because it's that last connection to Paul Bearer. And that's incredibly sweet of him. And I said that Monday night, that it's incredibly sweet of him. But we'll have to see what happens. What I'm more interested in is that The Undertaker has, the character, has now lost the influence of Paul Bearer. Paul Bearer was always the one that kind of sort of controlled, well, not kind of sort of, basically controlled The Undertaker. Kept him in line, especially in the early years, and made sure that he never crossed that line unless Bearer specifically commanded him to. Well, now that influence is no longer there. Now there is nobody to pull The Undertaker back. So the question is do we see that influence in some fashion, either with Paul Heyman holding up the urn or Taker about to cross the line and he looks at the urn and he stops himself? Do we potentially see Kane get involved? Do we see another influence? Do we see something from Bearer's sons?
I don't... You think the Bearer's sons are going to get involved. I can't see them getting involved. I can see the Paul Heyman using the urn to distract The Undertaker. Because if you remember, the story is, this is the power that controls The Undertaker. And we haven't really seen much of it, but in the match, when he's fighting, it could come into play. You go really old school with the approach to The Undertaker and the urn, I could really see that happening.
And I can see that as well. It's the urn will play a factor. CM Punk's probably going to take one last jab at The Undertaker before the match. He'll either steal Taker's entrance or they'll mock Paul Bearer in some way. They've got something planned for it.
I can tell you right now, he will not be stealing The Undertaker's entrance.
Oh?
This just in from CM Punk on Twitter earlier this today. Living Color will be performing CM Punk's entrance theme live at WrestleMania.
Oh, very cool.
They tweeted about it as well. So, yes, that is news. CM Punk will be played to the ring at WrestleMania by Living Color.
Okay, well, that takes out the possibility of Taker finding him backstage and just dragging him by his toenails to the ring.
Yeah, that does ruin that whole idea. CM Punk's actually getting an entrance.
So, maybe he'll get Pyro, too.
Pyro.
But yeah, it's just, it's, this feud to me has, doesn't have the heat that it should, it doesn't have the anger that it should, but it'll be a decent match, and it's kind of one of those things that you wonder, because we all know Taker doesn't have that many left in him.
Right, and he's been looking better, he's looking really in shape. There was a picture out I showed you earlier of him training.
Yeah.
He's ready, Taker's ready. Taker's ready to fight. He's coming to fight at WrestleMania. And for all the talk about he's overweight and he's put on pounds, he's getting in shape. He's ready to come. He's going to fight. And we're going to get a fight at WrestleMania. And I'm really looking forward to the fight.
Yeah, this is not going to be a wrestling match. This is going to be a fight. And one of the scenarios that I'm kind of seeing is Taker basically doesn't get in the ring and the fight starts outside the ring and they stay out of the ring until they're ready to get in, and then they get in and the match starts and Taker pulls off the victory after he's beaten the crap out of CM Punk. And another kind of interesting thing is CM Punk keeps saying, well, the streak can end on a count out, the streak can end on a DQ. The other side of this is, well, the match can be lost by a DQ by CM Punk. It can be lost by a countout by CM Punk.
Correct.
So it could be that CM Punk does something where he screws himself out of the match.
While trying to get Undertaker to do it.
Right. While trying to get Undertaker to DQ himself, CM Punk screws up and gets himself disqualified, or gets himself counted out, or something to that effect.
There is that possibility. That's an error I'm not sure of seeing, but it's possible.
They keep mentioning it, and it's like, okay, well, that's the obvious scenario, so they're probably not going to go with it. So, at least for Taker's half. So it's, what could they do? But this is the first year where you kind of question, is the streak going to end significantly? Because it's like, well, how many more matches does Taker have left in him? And with the death of Paul Bearer, William Moody, whatever you would prefer to call him, is he going to hang it up? Because
right.
Bearer was supposed to be there this year. He was supposed to manage Taker this year in the match going against Paul Heyman. And it just didn't happen, sadly.
Now, do we see WWE doing something with the memory of Paul Bearer after this matchup?
I don't see them going as far as flashing the memorial, but I see them doing something, or I see Taker wanting to do something, because this is obviously his last goodbye to Paul Bearer, William Moody. You know, this is him saying goodbye. This is him paying tribute. So they're going to do one last thing, and whether it's just the Undertaker kneels down to the urn one more time, you know, they show an image of Paul Bearer applauding on the screen. I told you, if they had the money and if it was financially available to them, they get a hologram of Paul Bearer and they throw it up on the stage. You know, they will do something.
They will do something. But with all that being said, who wins?
I've got to go with Taker.
Yeah, agreement, Undertaker.
I mean, it's just, it's as much threat, as much emphasis on, as they're putting on the streak could end. I don't see them doing it. I think Taker's got one more. I think they're going to try and take him to 30. I honestly don't think he would have had the shoulder and the hip surgeries that he's had unless he was going to try for one more after this.
Correct.
And that's the thing, is I don't think he would have gone through all the pain that he has gone through if he wasn't going to at least see it through to 30.
This is very true.
And also, he is appearing in London. So
there's that.
there's that.
Moving along, he says, final two matches. We're going to get through this. Trust us.
So sorry we're going over. We usually do not go this late, but yeah, like you said, we're going to go through this extensively.
We're about 8 minutes into our 10-minute preview.
Yes.
It's a running joke. Anyway, no holds barred. Career's on the line. Triple H versus Brock Lesnar. The feud started about a year ago when Brock Lesnar broke the arm of Triple H right after Extreme Rules. They met for the first time at SummerSlam where Brock broke Triple H's arm for the second time. Brock quit WWE after SummerSlam, claiming he was the new King of Kings and there was nothing left for him to do. Triple H was starting to doubt himself and was wondering if he would ever come back. But when Brock Lesnar returned and broke Vince McMahon's hip on Raw, Vince McMahon called Paul Heyman out for a fight. This allowed Triple H to return when Brock Lesnar was ready to attack Vince McMahon. It was all a setup. Triple H returned with brand new hair. And then Triple H challenged Brock Lesnar to a fight, as you heard in our opening to this segment. And then Brock Lesnar accepted, but under one condition. You know, he gets to name the stips after Triple H signs the contract. The stipulations end up being no holds barred, career on the line. And it was announced this past Monday, Shawn Michaels will be in the corner of Triple H at WrestleMania to counteract Paul Heyman. That all being said, is this finally the end for the game?
I'm going to say no. I don't see it. I see Triple H getting the win on this one. Just because it's you...
The man's broken his arm twice. He's got to get revenge.
The man has broken his arm twice. He cut his hair for the love of Christ. He lost at SummerSlam.
And he broke his friend's arm. He broke his father's hip.
Yeah, they're building this for Triple H to win, basically. Just because I understand if Triple H is done and I completely respect it. But at the same time, I don't see him being done in the ring just yet. He's a good name that they can, you know, yes, he can go work backstage. He's one of those that can now become a feature performer where you have him, you pull him out when you need him.
Right.
And he can, in the meantime, he can do what he does backstage. He can run NXT. He can do everything else. And be Mr. Corporate, and then when they need to pull him out, they do.
All right. By the way, if Triple H is ever going to be corporate, it's a good thing that he has a wife. They need to be on They need to be on TV together.
They do need to be on TV together. They are absolutely adorable together.
Donner can do his DX shtick with Stephanie. It's tremendous.
She's like, no, honey, no.
No. No. No, but if you missed the press conference, check it out tomorrow. It's kind of awesome. It's on the WWE YouTube and .com.
But I have to say, I was a little disappointed with Sean being in Hunter's Corner because I really did want to see it be Steph. Just because this has become so personal. It's, you know, yes, Brock broke Sean's arm, but technically Hunter got payback for that. Sort of at SummerSlam. Brock then broke Hunter's arm and made him doubt himself. Brock then breaks Vince's hip. You know, it's become this extremely personal feud. They kept bringing Stephanie up in the feud. And there's nothing to say that she won't play a part in it. We don't know.
She's been training. She's a fighter. Oh my God, she can...
Yeah, she can kick some butt. Put her in the deepest division. Give her the title. Hell. But it would have been nice just to have that personal connection with Stephanie McMahon, just to kind of, again, reaffirm the fact that the two, even though they've mentioned her, are married on TV. Because Stephanie and Hunter are obviously the new Vince and Linda. They're, you know, slowly at least on-camera power is transferring over to Stephanie and Hunter. where it's they're now becoming the authority figures in the company. They now run the company, and there's Vince is sort of phasing himself out a little bit. Because when they reference Triple H, they reference him as the COO.
Correct.
So it's, he is the authority figure. He's not, you know, he who happens to wrestle. Basically, he has taken Vince's place as being that, being in charge, but occasionally wrestling too.
Yeah.
Minus the power strut.
Minus the power strut. So I'm going to pose these questions. Will we see Vince McMahon or Stephanie McMahon at some point during this match?
I would like to, but I doubt it.
Will we see Shane McMahon show his face?
I would like to see it, but I doubt it.
Will we see the New Age Outlaws run in?
Probably not.
The big question, is Shawn Michaels involved in the finish?
Oh, of course. Without question.
Do we see Sweet Chin Music into a pedigree?
I can see that, yeah.
Now, I'll throw the scenario out there. What if happens if Shawn Michaels tuning up the band, here it goes, Sweet Chin Music, Brock Lesnar ducks and he hits Triple H. And it's Shawn Michaels who cost Triple H his career.
They'll talk about it when they get home.
could we see this leading to a showdown between Shawn Michaels and Triple H at some point if that were to happen in an unsanctioned match?
No, I don't see it, just because Shawn's done.
Yeah, Shawn's done.
He said he's done. He said he has really no interest in getting back in the ring and wrestling. So, I honestly can't see it, unless they offer him something tremendous, which I don't know what they could offer him short of ownership of the company, to convince him to do one more match.
Right.
Because it's... I think Shawn also doesn't want to break his promise to The Undertaker, where it's, you retired me, you get that honor, I'm not going to get back in the ring again.
Right.
And I think Shawn really does want to honor that promise.
So, we're both in agreement, Hunter?
I'm saying Hunter.
I'm with you. And finally, the main event for the WWE Championship. The Rock defends against John Cena. The Rock returned in 2011 to guest host the WrestleMania Lindsay appeared at. Yes, she was in the main event. Didn't you see her? She was there. And basically started a verbal feud with John Cena at that point, the night after it was announced. At WrestleMania 28, it will be the once-in-a-lifetime showdown between The Rock and John Cena. So in a year-long build where The Rock won their first encounter, and then declared the next night he would become WWE Champion again. We found out Raw 1000 The Rock would be fighting at the Royal Rumble for the WWE Championship, and he was able to do so again by beating CM Punk. The Rock won the title at the Royal Rumble, defending against Elimination Chamber, creating the brand new WWE title the night after. At the same time, John Cena was on his road to redemption, winning the 2013 Royal Rumble and declaring he would fate the winner of CM Punk and The Rock at WrestleMania. John Cena put his title shot on the line a couple weeks after the Chamber beat CM Punk, the man he couldn't beat for the entire year prior. And now we get the once-in-a-lifetime part two, as some people are calling it, or just the WWE Championship match, John Cena and The Rock. John Cena says, revealed a couple weeks ago, that he beat himself rather than The Rock winning, and that John Cena wants to prove once and for all that he is better than The Rock. I am looking forward to this matchup. I know there's some people who are not, and they have all their reasons to, you know, not look forward to this matchup. Everyone could say it's a rematch. It's rematch mania. Rematch mania. Well, you know what? Sometimes rematches are there for a purpose. I'm looking forward to it. I don't know about you.
I'm definitely looking forward to it. It's I mean, I'm not, oh my god, I have to see this match, but I'm looking forward to it just because I think we were just, at least I was disappointed last year because we were expecting a fight and we got a wrestling match. And this year I think we are still going to get a wrestling match, but it will still be a better match than what they put on last year just because The Rock is more conditioned and there's more on the line, so there's more drama than just bragging rights. It's, they're vying for the WWE Championship. And who is going to come out on top?
The biggest, there are a few questions getting into this match. What type of reaction will John Cena get at WrestleMania? Boo Bird?
He's going to... Sorry, go ahead.
I was going to say Boo Bird.
Oh my god, they're going to boo him out of that building.
Yeah, they are. I've liked the attitude that John Cena's been showing lately. Has a little heel-ish tone to it, but it's not a heel turn, it's just a different attitude. And that's something John Cena needs, because if when John Cena wins the WWE Championship, if he goes back to being happy-go-lucky John Cena, we're back in the same place we were 2 years ago. But if John Cena comes out of this matchup, wins the WWE Championship, and has some sort of edge on him, then the last 2 years were worth it.
The thing about it is one of the nice things they are playing up is that Cena has gone through life-changing events. He has had, at least for him, the year from hell. He has gotten divorced. He is not the same man that he was last year. You know, he was so confident walking into the match last year that he just lost. He came in second, which is not acceptable to him. So it's, I think this new attitude stays, at least for a little bit.
Right.
Where it's, he's trying to redeem himself. He's learned a life lesson. He can no longer be the happy-go-lucky Cena. They're now taking him in a more serious direction for the time being, which is what they need to do.
I'm with you there. What happens if The Rock wins?
Certain hosts on this network explode.
What people are saying, Rock is supposedly working Extreme Rules. Would a Rock win kind of push Cena over the edge?
I think a Rock win would push Cena over the edge. The only thing is if they're going to go for the championship at Extreme Rules, then they have to have a reason for the two to fight.
Could it be John Cena actually getting disqualified?
No, I don't see that, honestly.
Can't see, like, The Rock keeps kicking out John Cena, but shoves the referee and gets disqualified. Can't see that.
Mm-mm.
But think about if it did happen. John Cena snaps, gives the AA to a referee, and gets disqualified.
Oh, it would be... People wouldn't know what to think.
What about this? What if we get the full-on John Cena heel turn that the world has been waiting for when Paul Heyman comes out and helps John Cena win the WWE title?
Never gonna happen.
John Cena sells his soul to Paul Heyman to win the WWE Championship.
Never, ever, 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 ever gonna happen.
If it happens, hashtag Rack exclusive.
Yes, hashtag Rack exclusive. I don't see it happening. I see Cena still being the stand-up guy and winning.
I like how we turned to in the chair. I can see that happening now.
It would be amazing, but it won't happen, sadly, because they're not going to do that. But, yeah, I see Cena still being that stand-up guy. He maybe does it by somewhat questionable means.
John Cena cheats to win.
John Cena cheats to win, but he still... He doesn't get himself DQ'd. He doesn't do anything. Basically, he sort of takes advantage of a situation and wins.
He nails The Rock with the WWE Championship and beats him that way. Think about that.
Yeah, think about that. You know, there's an exposed turnbuckle.
the Boy Scout cheats to win.
You know, and then that, because that would honestly, Rock has a rematch clause anyway, but then that would set up for something for Extreme Rules if Rock is working Extreme Rules to where they can put some kind of ridiculous stip on it.
Correct. So, I'm looking forward to it. I'm a Rock fan, of course. But I gotta go with John Cena.
I'm agreed on this. I'm going with Cena. This allows Rock to go off and do what he needs to do as far as promotion is concerned. I believe he's starting to film after Mania.
Mm-hmm. So that's why we're all questioning whether he's working Extreme Rules or not.
Yeah, at this stage, my only thing is I would give those a little bit more belief just because Punk is taking time off after Mania. He is not at the stage scheduled for Extreme Rules.
Depends what you read.
Depends what you read, but if you go and you look at the house shows for at least the domestic shows, Punk is not listed.
Correct.
Even though on the Salt Lake City ad they say he's coming here, but I doubt it.
Okay. Our question of the night this evening was, what match are you looking forward to the most? We got a couple responses for Brock Lesnar and Triple H, a couple for Undertaker and CM Punk. What are you looking forward to the most?
I'm looking forward to the Shield match. Okay. Just because I'm curious to see how they do it.
I'm going to go on the line and say Brock and Hunter is the one I'm looking forward to the most. Right up there with Rock and Cena and Punk and Taker. I'm liking this whole entire show. I'm sold from top to bottom. This is a lot better show than last year, without question.
This is a much more balanced show than it was last year, which is nice. The undercard is more solidly built. I think we'll get better matches in the undercard. And if you look at the way that they've at least paced out the show, based on what you read, that can obviously change at the drop of a hat. From what they've initially planned out, it looks like it's going to be a much more evenly balanced show. The big matches are not getting excessive amounts of time like they did last year. The big matches are at most getting, I think, 30 minutes.
Correct.
So it's that, you know, Punk Taker isn't getting an hour, Hunter Brock isn't getting an hour, so a lot of these matches are going to be shorter, sweeter, to the point, which, especially if you're going to have a couple brawls, that makes sense.
They're going to keep the show moving.
It will keep the show moving, and then plus that gives the undercard guys more time to shine, and I think that was, at least that was my biggest complaint about Mania last year, was it's like they blew 2/3 of their undercard in the first hour.
Yeah, they did. I have a feeling this WrestleMania is going to be a lot more physical. It's going to be a physical show.
Yes.
We're going to see a lot more brawling compared to wrestling. We're going to get a lot of good wrestling, but there's going to be some fighting. And that's what that was the basis of the Attitude Era, fighting, and we're going to see some of that at WrestleMania.
Well, some of the matches honestly warrant it. Like, Hunter Brock, if it's not a fight, if it's not an all-out, I'm going to kill you brawl, I think everybody will be disappointed because that's what everybody's expecting. Taker Punk, everybody is expecting at least some brawling, some fighting. Basically, Taker finally gets to get his hands on CM Punk and kick his ass. If he feels so inclined that evening, which I'm sure he will. Rock and Cena, not so much. The Shield match probably will be a brawl somewhat. And the rest, Ryback and Henry is hard to say.
It's going to be more of a power struggle than anything else.
Yeah, so it's, you know, you've got a nice flow on the show. It will be good to watch, but there's not anything on this card that makes me go, oh my god, I have to see it.
Correct. I would agree. Yeah.
It's basically, I could honestly miss this WrestleMania and wait for it to come out on DVD and watch it on DVD and not pay $65 for it.
But that being said, it's going to be a good show.
Yes, it's going to be a great show. It's going to be an absolutely great show. I don't want to pay $65 for it.
Well, really quickly before we go, because we're about really over time. Hall of Fame, who are you looking forward to most?
Trish
and then Foley, in my opinion, they're 1-2. Can be even, you know, swapped back and forth.
Yeah, Trish and then Foley, just because it's... I'm interested to see Trump's Hall of Fame induction, just because Vince is doing it.
Yeah. Vince McMahon's going to be kissing Donald Trump's ass. Vince is joining the Donald Trump Kiss My Ass Club on Saturday night.
To which we all laugh.
To which we all totally laugh. So with that being said, I think we should do the Magic 8-Ball and get out of here.
Yes, and real quick, Stone 444 says Mick Foley is the one he's looking forward to, and he's looking forward to Taker Punk.
By the way, media.wildtalkradio.com, send all your picks in, please.
Yes.
You can win from memlamepromo.com.
So, all right, we have a new segment, Ask the Magic 8-Ball. You ask, we ask questions, and I ask an actual physical Magic 8-Ball, and I give the answer. So, we already have one for Brock.
Yeah, so if you ever want to enter them quickly, put them in there right now. So,
yeah, we're getting ready to end the show, so mercifully.
That being said, Lindsay.
Yes.
Ask that Magic 8-Ball, will I get your chocolate bunny?
Will Rock, Magic 8-Ball, will Rock get my chocolate bunny? And the answer is... Reply Hazy, try again later.
Oh, you son of a...
Will Rock get my bunny, my chocolate bunny? No.
Rigged, a sham. This 8-Ball sucks. I want you.
No, you cannot have the bunny. Stone 444, you cannot have the bunny.
If anyone's getting her bunny, it's going to be me.
You're not getting the chocolate bunny. You know what? I'm going to eat the chocolate bunny tomorrow after I get home from my appointment tomorrow.
And you're just going to tweet me a picture, send me a picture of an empty box.
Yes, I am.
Damn you. Anyway.
Actually, I'm going to send you a picture of the ears bitten off.
Oh, she's going to kill a bunny. I'm going to call cops on her for endangering a bunny. Animal cruelty. We have the audio proof she's cruel to animals.
It's a chocolate bunny!
Oh, anyway, with that being said, we should wrap this show up.
Yeah, so thank you so much to everybody in the chat room who came and visited us. Stone444, good night. Thank you so much for sticking with us the whole night. Thank you to everybody else in the chat room. Jersey Girl, Matt, Tommy, everybody who's now probably gone to bed because we went really over. Tune in next week. We're going to have all our recaps, Impact, all that good stuff, all our normal segments, and we promise not to go this over. We usually do not go this long, I swear.
But it's WrestleMania, so we went a little bit long. So yeah, tune in every Thursday night at 11 p.m. Eastern for The Rack.
Yes, and of course, visit our awesome sponsors, menlanepromo.com, check out tnasylum.com, check it out pwmania.com, and of course, go to rackradioshow.com for more information about the show, including past archives of all our interviews. You can, of course, get archives of every show we've done on wildtalkradio.com. You can follow me on Twitter at Linsward, LNSWRD, and Rock.
Follow us on Twitter at wildtalkradio, facebook.com/wildtalkradio network. And the group facebook.com/group/wildtalkradio network. Quickly, Saturday night, midnight-ish, and CB Radio with myself and Subway. We'll talk about the weird, the wacky, the unusual Rom may call it or not. He's packing as we speak, and he has to be at his parents' house at 5 a.m., and he's still doing laundry. It's 2 o'clock in the morning.
Go, Rob, go!
He wants me, if I'm awake, to send him a message at like 5:30 to see if he's actually still awake. Anyway.
No, I don't think it's going to happen.
Anyway, so yes, Mace is playing video games most likely tomorrow night. You should check the site. Sunday night, WrestleTalk Radio right after WrestleMania, 11 p.m. Eastern. Monday night, Raw Post Show, 11:30 p.m. Eastern. We'll cover everything that happens on the fallout from Monday night Raw of WrestleMania. Whatever that means. Tuesday night, KFA Wrestling Radio. Alan Wojcik has interviews. I don't remember who he's interviewing. I think it's Steve Corino. I could be totally wrong. Check his Twitter at my name is Wojcik. Wednesday night, no more just another goddamn wrestling show that's gone bye-byes. In its place, it rises from the ashes, Cheap Heat Radio with Scott Barry and Matthew Forsina.
So, all right. And, of course, go to WTRProductions.net.
Yes, and go to CassidyRiley.net for all your Cassidy Riley needs.
Yes, he has a show coming out soon, and we will start giving that link out when it gets a little bit closer. So, for Brock, I am Lindsay Ward. You've been listening to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com, TNAsylum.com, PWMania.com, and possibly RackRadioShow.com. Thank you so much. Everybody, enjoy WrestleMania. Tweet us your thoughts. Email us your thoughts. Call in with your thoughts. Leave us a voicemail. Please don't make it 10 minutes.
267-297-1397.
And we will talk to you all Sunday after the show. So take care and good night.
WildTalkRadio.com.